Incursion. Written by Alexander Voinov. Narrated by Gomez Pugh. The message on Kyle's comm scrolled into view, then blinked once, twice, to indicate the sender had flagged it as important. To annoy him more, it flashed red before bleeding back into black. Lucky, then, that he was ready to go. He gathered his belongings from the sleep pod and stashed them in his pilot bag. Kyle thumped his ID chip into the pod's terminal and asked for a refund of the pre-bought nights. He had a queasy feeling he wouldn't be coming back to this pod, which was a damn shame, because it was so close to the hospital. With that kind of summons, you only knew one thing. It would mess up all other plans. When he emerged onto the street, the bustle was almost too much. Vehicles buzzed by so fast that he struggled for balance, still unaccustomed to the prostheses encasing his legs, despite having worn them the last 6 weeks. Not good. He steadied himself with one hand against the wall of the pod farm and made for the nearest alley, ignoring the taxis flashing prices at him as they zipped past. People on foot were always fair bait to them. He couldn't afford individual transportation. He'd used up his credits getting here from the spaceport a month ago. Authorities didn't believe in above-average mileage for people like him. Social Security could be a bitch like that. It took him half an hour to reach the public transport terminal and find a SocSec credits machine to trade his fuel credits for transport credits. At a rate of 2 for 1, he was being ripped off, as usual with official SSC terminals. But he hadn't had the time to tap the black market yet. If he'd been his normal, whole self, he could have walked. On Tammany, he would have. Home. A shitload of transportation credits away. He'd never save enough to make it there, not even if he cut back on everything but food for 200 years. The people crowding the transportation platform made way for him, as if he'd step on their feet otherwise. Kyle took position at the very end of the platform, where he imagined those poor bastards stood just before throwing themselves in front of an incoming train. He was beyond those kinds of thoughts, though, thanks to the shrink at the hospital and the Tammanian idea that only cowards committed suicide. He'd left everything else behind. The elders, their customs, the land itself, and his ancestors. But it failed so far to rip those beliefs from his chest. When the train glided in, he waited for the passengers to spill out, then joined the throng of people squeezing inside. He spotted an empty seat and met the angry stare of a suited guy in the crowd who pushed past him, jostling against his shoulder just before he plunked down and demonstratively balanced his briefcase on his knees. Kyle reached for one of the metal bars and widened his stance to compensate for the jolt when the train started. At every stop, people streamed first out, then in, most of them brushing him for lack of space, even ramming against him, clearly annoyed by the bulky, intrusive bag slung across his back. But in the tightly packed can, there was no way he'd be able to pick it up again if he put it down.
"Main square,"
the computerized voice promised, and most of the passengers disembarked. Kyle followed, allowing himself to be washed out like a dead fish by the human wave. When he touched out of the terminal, the system told him he was down to 0 credits. If he needed more before his next allocation, he'd have to trade clothing or food credits. He spotted the triangular skyscraper at the east side of the vast square that doubled as the center of the universe as far as these people were concerned. He stepped through the automatic doors and crossed a foyer decked entirely in green-veined polished marble, which made it look like the insides of a gutted leviathan. He blinked that image away, and the sense memory of the stench, and approached the security guards manning a singular counter that sat there like a vertebra. He slapped his ID down and pushed it toward the hard-faced woman on the other side of the polished marble surface.
I'm expected.
She swiped the chip across a scanner.
Kyle Junger?
Same.
She raised her eyebrows as she quickly scanned his history, apparently impressed by whatever she read there, then tapped an access code into the system before sliding the chip back toward him.
Elevators to the left. Get off on the 35th floor, turn left, go to reception. The code will expire 5 minutes from now. You'd better be at your destination by then.
Don't linger, don't get off where you're not supposed to, and for God's sake, don't dawdle. Security forces were the same everywhere. Space Navy Sec forces were all about shooting anybody even looking at the wrong ship. Trigger-happy bastards. The Glirini incursion didn't justify absolutely everything. He snatched his ID and headed for the gates. The automated weapons platform on the other end stared at him with three barrels ready to spit subsonic ammo. Yes, the commissariat sure meant business. Kyle walked past the mechanized executioner and was relieved when the elevator doors slid open as he approached.
Scan your ID, the screen demanded, and he waved the card in front of the sensor field.
35th floor appeared on the screen. So how was he supposed to stray from the path? Did they really expect a Glirini infiltrator to crack the machine code in the time it took for the doors to close? Glirini were supposedly good, but surely not that good. He almost lost his footing when the elevator stopped abruptly. Now that would be an image. Knocked flat by negative acceleration and struggling to get back on his feet while the weapons platform opposite the doors was aiming at him. It was enough to make his heart race, and to keep his balance. He pressed so hard against the elevator wall his fingernails turned white. He staggered out of the cabin and shot the annihilator a nasty stare. Not that the machine cared. It definitely outgunned him. He turned left and passed another pair of sliding doors, and a matrix of blue lights scanned him quickly, then turned green. He walked up to reception, where a guy was clearly making a personal call. The smiles and laughter didn't belong here. The receptionist's face turned serious.
I'll call you back later, he said, and ended the connection.
Yes, sir. How may I help you?
Kyle Junger, I'm expected.
Let's disable your access countdown first. Your ID, please?
Kyle handed it over and breathed a little easier when the invisible countdown was no longer ticking his life away. Yet he didn't doubt that he was now under even tighter security, since he was getting close to the heart of the commissariat.
Please be advised to stay on the red areas of the carpet.
The receptionist gave him a bloodless smile as he confirmed Kyle's suspicion.
The shocks would fry every piece of technology on you, and we're not offering damages.
You're offering plenty of damage, though. Kyle nodded.
Not that I'd be in a state to file a claim, right?
You said it, sir.
The receptionist slid his ID over a scanner and handed it back to him.
Just a moment, sir.
A door to the back opened and two guards stepped out and approached him.
Your escort, sir. Have a nice day, the receptionist said.
Kyle followed one of the women while the other walked behind him. They moved swiftly, and he made sure to stay exactly between them in the center of the red carpet. When the carpet ended in front of a large sliding door, a muscle in his neck twitched with apprehension. But the guard opened the door after typing in a long security code.
Please don't leave that room without authorization. After you.
She motioned, and he stepped into an indoor garden. The sudden onslaught of humidity made him relax, a stupid reflex, especially as the place was otherwise nothing like home. But his lungs breathed easier, and he could smell the chlorophyll in the air. Amid the tightly entangled Tamanian hardwoods, he even spotted the red and orange seed pods of blinker flowers. He moved further onto the clearing, which looked like a place where high-ranking officials might retreat to enjoy the humidity, and possibly a lunch or packed dinner.
Kyle Younger, please have a seat.
A broad-shouldered woman stepped into view from between the vegetation, holding a pink and white flower in her fingers. She sat opposite him at a table placed between the trees, dropped the flower on the table, and folded her hands over it.
I assumed these surroundings would put you at ease. It's appreciated.
He sat down, steadying himself with his arms against the table.
How long since the accident? 6 weeks.
Not that it was an accident.
How far along are you on the road to recovery?
This is as good as it's going to get.
He eased his weight fully on his ass and leaned back in the chair.
Did they tell you something else?
I read your file, of course. She frowned.
I assume there's a disconnect between seeing what it did and reading about it in your file.
Disconnect is exactly what happened,
he scoffed. She smiled.
Yes, it rather is, isn't it?
She leaned forward.
Well, thank you for coming here, Kyle. Your profile was flagged in an extended search for personnel for a delicate task.
I've been retired.
And your petitions to the Military High Court, the High Commission, the Professional Court, the Space Naval Court, and a number of smaller authorities clearly show that you are happy to be retired.
Copy and paste job.
Perhaps, but you still fought.
Force of habit.
He reached down and adjusted the position of his left leg.
I protested because I wasn't ready to accept the luxurious lifestyle I now enjoy as a crippled veteran of the Commonwealth.
She pulled a pad from her trouser pocket and tapped a few buttons on it. He recognized his own image on the screen, but the photo was woefully out of date. He'd been clean-shaven then, all over, to give any skin parasites less to work with.
You're running low on credits.
Yes, I'm broke.
I'm sorry to hear.
She tapped a few fields and read quickly, if indeed she could read all the entries with just a glance or two.
You could be reinstated into your old privileges upon completion of the mission. Also, commanders tend to have better retirement packages than squadron leaders.
Most likely.
Nothing a sector commissar couldn't do. Even beef up his rank in retirement and put him right at the top of the social benefits queue. With a swipe of her fingers, she could assign him unlimited credits for anything she felt like giving him. Credits for the finest whorehouses, spacious accommodation, natural food, space travel, all in her power. She smiled wryly.
There's also a larger budget for medical intervention. You could most likely afford full cybernetic replacements.
Most likely? As if she hadn't checked that beforehand.
What makes you think I'm your man?
Your past as Hunter 5.
Oh.
He exhaled sharply.
Listen, Commissar, that's 15 years ago now. All I did was collect deserters at their mothers' houses. I wasn't exactly hunter-killer commando material.
I don't need a hunter-killer, but I do need a hunter. I'd like the quarry alive.
That didn't sound good. Pity she'd already baited him. Cybernetic legs sure would make getting around easier. Movement was supposedly completely natural, too, which meant he wouldn't stand out anymore. He could blend back into a normal life, unremarked, all but invisible. Which was really all he wanted. Why else did anybody join the military? To blend in, to become part of something bigger, to cease to exist as an individual.
How dangerous is the target?
If alerted, dangerous. You'll have to get close without alerting him.
Right. These things never worked out as planned.
How much force am I allowed to use?
If at all possible, bring him in alive. But we're happy to accept his dead body. Check him for stolen data. Retrieve it. This may mean looking inside his skull for storage implants. Or wherever else he's keeping his data. If you have a minute with the dead body, dig wherever you see recent operation scars or fresh wounds.
She smiled without irony.
Or wherever else men store a data chip. I'm sure I can trust you with the details.
Employer called the shots. Finding a soft tissue scanner shouldn't be a big problem. He could even rig one out of a generic diagnostics pad.
I'll need gear. I'll transfer the necessary credits.
No questions asked. She'd likely even approve intelligent bullets in that mood. Whatever the target had done, he'd pissed her off royally.
Who's the target?
She tapped on her pad.
He's calling himself Kshar. He's a Glirini double agent. I didn't know they do double agents. Of course. Nobody admits to them in the first place. Kshar has something I want back, and I don't care what it takes. If you have to kill his associates, helpers, or other Glirini, I'll even recommend you for a bonus.
Yeah, this here was a raging hard-on of employer wrath. He nodded.
I needed to get out more anyway.
One question he didn't even have to ask. If Kshar had walked away with her data, she couldn't send one of her usual agents after him. Chances were he'd walked out with the ID files and identities of whatever more suitable hunter she had on the roster. He didn't want to piss her off more by asking that out loud, but it was clear enough.
Can I see a photo?
Of course, a photo wasn't helpful at all in this case, but it made the threat somewhat less anonymous. She turned the pad around, zoomed a small icon larger, and a face filled the screen. Kshar, despite his name, had anything but a royal appearance. He looked average, on the pale side, eyes awake and perceptive, intelligent, forehead lined already even though he didn't look older than 30. Hair was short and light brown, eyes lighter. Pleasant. The type people ask for directions in a busy shopping center and forget 5 minutes later. A very good face for espionage. If he was still wearing it.
Where's he headed? Back into Glirini space to deliver what he's pilfered. Do we know the mode of transportation? Yes, we do.
The spaceport was busy as usual, especially in the charter terminal. The functionaries maximized profits by very nearly stacking ships on top of each other and renting out what space remained to various shopkeepers and hustlers. There were plenty of unlicensed freelancers about, too. Prostitutes who plied their trades behind the atmospheric wing of a landing shuttle, standing up or barely bending over. Snake charm dealers who dealt in drugs and secrets and treasure maps and general desires, from everlasting virility to unfading beauty. Some offered a two-for-one deal on both. He found the Scorpion in one of the departure bays getting ready for launch. She was a heavily modified Morningstar-class ship. Instead of two thrusters, she had four, which should ring alarm bells in the heads of anybody involved in law enforcement. The structural changes that allowed her to use all that power and not be ripped apart meant there was precious little Morningstar left, and she was trying very hard to be a Comet-class ship. Except, of course, that the military decommissioned Comets rather than resell them on the open market. That military-grade shield projector under her nose had most definitely started life in the Space Navy. It was complemented rather fetchingly with four rad blasters at the front and the same number of sonic blasters, all of which were cursorily camouflaged with a sensor panel. This little ship certainly lived up to its name. Kyle wouldn't want to be on board a raider whose crew mistook this simple Morningstar for easy quarry. But his hands itched to fly her. He'd loved his Comets back in the day. He'd preferred them even to the heavy war frigates he'd flown toward the end of his career.
Time to gather more information. When he played the outraged passenger of a shuttle two berths down, the port crew told him that the Scorpion wasn't scheduled to leave before midnight. He stomped off and went in search of her crew. Somebody was most likely on board, but he didn't want to push too hard. They'd only get suspicious. Also, if he could grab and bag Kashar while still on planet, getting him back would be easier. Beyond the protective barrier, where permanent structures had a chance to survive the radiation blast from the thrusters, people sat densely packed in rows, grabbing a fast meal from a mobile kitchen. Large soup bowls were filled to the brim with broth, vegetables, and noodles. Clouds of steam rose from large pots at the back, where five people worked to prepare the food just a little faster than it was eaten. This was the busiest eatery on the concourse, which meant that, usually, it was also the best. If he'd learned one thing in the Space Navy, it was to eat at places that served so much food so fast it couldn't possibly get rancid. Prices were reasonable, too, he discovered as he walked closer. "We don't serve meat," declared a board dangling overhead. He paid a couple credits for a bowl and scanned the rows upon rows of eaters. They ranged from scantily clad prostitutes of every possible gender to soldiers, but no smooth spy face among them. Toward the back sat a crew of what looked like rough-and-ready mercenaries, wearing matching dark gray jumpsuits and darker gray multi-pocketed flak vests. They carried enough personal weaponry to slaughter everybody in sight. Among the other diners, there were a couple weapons here and there, but not another unit like this one.
"By their ship ye shall know them,"
he said under his breath, bastardizing a Space Navy slogan from a recruitment poster, and went to pick up his food at the counter. When he'd been served, he found a place near one of the men, set his bowl down, and navigated the bench. In such a constricted space, that was easier thought than fucking done. His leg caught the bench, and he very nearly fell face first into his bowl. A hand shot out and steadied him by the scruff of his neck, as though he were the runt of the litter.
"Careful, mate," the mercenary said.
Kyle gritted his teeth and steadied himself on the table, then tried again to get his feet under it.
"Fuck."
The mercenary glanced toward the end of the row. "Hey, Winter, you gonna change places with this guy? Has trouble sitting down." A large woman stood at the very end of the table.
"And sit next to you?"
"If you can bear it." The mercenary made a stupid kissy face and laughed. Winter gathered her bowl and came around to where Kyle stood. Shockingly, her skin was cement gray, unhealthy, worse than a radiation poisoning patient in a hospital's death ward. She was also completely hairless.
"Sit down over there," Winter said. "Got shot up?"
"Yeah."
Winter nodded with what looked like understanding. From her skin tone, the woman should be getting a blood transfusion at the very least right now.
"Served?"
"Yeah."
Winter nodded again.
"Sit. Eat in peace."
It was the friendliest anybody but the shrink had been in what felt like months. Eat in peace. Spacer code that made mealtimes very nearly holy. Food was too scarce and too expensive to squander on any fight, and even rivals and enemies accepted that rule.
"Thanks."
He stalked over to the end of the row, which put him into the odd position of having taken the seat of honor at their table, like their officer. Winter didn't seem to be their leader, though. Or was she? The food proved as good as expected. Fresh, hot, and spicy enough to tickle his long-neglected taste buds. While he ate, he studied their faces. But not one of them looked like a Glirini spy. A passenger, then? As far as getaway transports went, the Scorpion was too perfect to pass on. And these guys, no doubt, made excellent guards.
Short of using fighter drones, taking them down would demand a huge body count. Not something anybody could do on the sly. The mercenaries ate, bantered, and two of the men even kissed, which didn't raise so much as an eyebrow among their comrades. Most of them could have come from anywhere, their dialects smooth from rubbing against each other for a long time. They could have been Space Navy, too. On average, they were darker-skinned than most people on this planet, but not so much that they would have drawn comment. Winter was a notable exception. In terms of bodies, they ranged from the bulky Winter to a much thinner, even scrawny-looking fellow who could have fitted two of himself in a pilot seat and still have room for entertainment. Kyle lowered his bowl and turned to the mercenary to his left.
If I needed to get off-world fast, how'd I go about that?
The man regarded him wearily.
Depends on your means. I have some means.
The mercenary stroked his stubbled chin.
And your destination? Away.
Kyle spread his hands.
So what have you done?
Kyle laughed softly.
I pissed some people off. What else?
They broke your back?
Winter asked. The others fell silent. Seems she was somehow special.
Tried to kill me,
Kyle confirmed.
Scrapyard medic put me back together. I can walk, but I can't run.
I've seen that,
Winter said.
You figure we have our own ship?
Or take me to your employer. I can pay. I have.
Kyle hesitated. Whatever weasel-faced rat he was playing wouldn't give that information up to people who could just break his neck and throw him into space.
Information. Codes. Money. I just need to get off planet.
No, seriously. Where are you headed?
Place with good surgeons.
Kyle glanced down at his legs. We can drop him off on Ganesh en route, said one of the men who'd been kissing. He winked at Kyle. Or Liberty.
I'm not ready yet to join the Doctrine Zombies in exchange for free health care and advanced cybernetics.
Kyle tapped his temple.
I quite like being a free man.
Ganesh, then, Winter said.
You're heading further out? Isn't that close to Glirini space?
Kyle asked. A hush settled over the mercenaries. Kyle lowered his voice.
Bad topic?
The continued silence confirmed it. He didn't need anybody to answer.
Plenty of bounty to collect from what we're hearing. Seeing how the morphs are not respecting the border and all,
Winter said. Kyle glanced from one face to the next, but no mercenary responded in any unexpected way. Kashar might still be wearing that original face, quite possibly playing passenger and being the reason the mercenaries were headed toward Glirini space. He finished his meal and stood when the mercs did. The pair of lovers broke off from the group on the way back to the Scorpion. Kyle turned around and one of the mercenaries sniggered at him.
Getting some alone time in one of the coffin pods before we leave.
Kyle cleared his throat.
Your officer okay with that?
We don't have an officer, only a captain, the mercenary said. As far as he's concerned, boots on the ground, we're all our own men.
Yeah, they weren't exactly the Space Navy. Then again, he'd always had his own quarters and not rubbed shoulders with the common Marines or crew on a transport. They were leading him straight toward the Scorpion. He fell behind so he didn't betray that he knew their destination. What if the Commissar was wrong? What if Kshar played it a lot safer than expected? Then, at the very least, he'd get himself off this damned planet. Of course, home was in the other direction, away from Glirini space. And he was reluctant to return. There was nothing for him to do on Temeni but crawl in with his wider family relations and serve as physical proof of the Elder's warning that going off into space to fight wars
breaks people's bodies and minds. Unless, of course, you were warrior caste and pure enough for it. Up this close, the scorpion hadn't lost any of her viciousness. His fingers itched again to fly her, test if her hull would really withstand the four strong thrust.
"Who's the pilot?"
he asked Winter.
"You're going to meet him," she said.
When they approached, the ramp lowered and they all stepped under her belly onto the platform to be lifted inside. As far as entry points went, this was crammed and tight. But then, with 10 people sharing the space, all it did was recreate the claustrophobia of any military ship. The platform locked into place with a jolt, and Kyle had to quickly rebalance. Winter took him by the arm and steadied him, but didn't release him immediately. Here, on board the Scorpion, that gave Kyle goose flesh. A steadying hand seemed a lot less friendly or a lot less altruistic now. He was glad when they were moving. Winter and another mercenary escorted him down toward the command center. Behind the final door was the brain of the ship. Some of the casings that held instruments and wires in place had been screwed loose, and cables were dangling everywhere, creating a scene that looked like a technical interpretation of Tamani's southern jungle. And the man in the middle, half hidden behind panels and rewiring cables and running programs off a number of diagnostic screens jury-rigged to the main power outlet, fit right in. Broad-shouldered and tall, he didn't belong in a pilot seat. But that was undoubtedly his role. He probably got a lot of shit for it, like Kyle had at the academy.
"Younger, you gonna be a gunner?"
"No, I'm gonna be a pilot."
"You're shitting me."
Lucky that he'd passed all his aptitude tests, despite people telling him he was too tall and wide to make a good pilot.
"Your reflexes have to travel too far, idiot."
"Grim, this is Kyle. He wants to travel with us to Ganesh," Winter said.
"Any place that can fix me up,"
Kyle corrected. Grim stepped out of the mass of wires until the tattoo on his face was visible. Blue-black whorls and twirls covered the left side of his face, from hairline to chin, exaggerating his features while blurring them at the same time. The pattern indicated he was not only from Tamani, but the southern lowlands of the Antipodean continent near the ocean. The fiercest of the tribes, the one that took pride in going into battle first and returning last.
"Mother of Light,"
Kyle said under his breath. Grim hesitated, then near bowed.
"Father of Darkness,"
he completed. Kyle didn't know what to say, and Grim seemed comfortable with the lull in the introduction. When the silence dragged on, Winter cleared her throat.
"You guys know each other?"
Grim waved his hand.
"You want to explain, Kyle? I'm just tracking a wire I had somewhere around here."
He grabbed a handful of cables and lifted them to demonstrate.
"We're both from the same planet, even the same continent."
Kyle peered over at Grim, but the man just gave him a nod and continued skinning a wire with a too large knife.
"But he's a warrior."
"Our Grim? Really?"
"Don't sound so surprised."
Grim twirled two cables together between his dirty fingers.
"I didn't get the tattoo in a drunken stupor."
More like a holy trance, but Kyle wasn't about to talk about that.
"Yeah, he's warrior caste."
"These days I'm mostly handy with a tool belt. And I fly this slingshot bauble, too."
Grim wrapped insulation tape around the bared wiring and tested the area with a thumb.
"That should hold."
"What the fuck are you doing here anyway?"
Winter asked.
"This looks like..."
"I'm just improving performance. That should give us 3% more on the thrusters and a good 15.5% on the shield in the front. Figure we never know when we'll need it."
"You said you were going to hook up the second life-preserving system."
Grim glanced to the side where parts were neatly stacked and completely untouched in a corner.
"I'll do that next."
He wiped his hands on an oily rag, then ducked under a strand of cables.
Kyle, huh?
He glanced down at Kyle's legs, but didn't comment.
What's the offer for passage?
Kyle shook off the impact of meeting another Tamanian this far from home.
I have codes, money, credits.
Let's see the merchandise.
Grim stretched out his hand.
I'd fly you as a brother, but this outfit's gotta eat.
Yes, of course.
Kyle pulled his ID from his pocket. Grim grabbed a pad that was hooked up to one of the ship's internal processors, then pushed Kyle's ID in and began to type on the screen.
The code is...
Access granted.
Kyle frowned and looked into Grim's dark eyes.
Basic encryption. It was a simple word, correct?
Yes.
Kyle ignored the smirk and looked at the screen while Grim scrolled through everything he'd done, everything he'd earned.
Want me to undress and bend over too?
He snapped.
Can't be too careful in this business, Grim said, then looked at Winter. He's got two diplomatic codes.
Winter grunted.
That's why they want to kill you?
Kyle shrugged.
Kyle here's a bad boy. Deserted the Space Navy, then lived a life of crime, apparently. Two convictions for fraud and identity theft. Even spent some time with Hunter Zero in a military prison.
Yeah, that was fun,
Kyle muttered.
A petty criminal.
Grim lifted an eyebrow.
What's the honor of Tamani come to, huh, Kyle?
Like you said, man's gotta eat.
He only hoped the Commissar would reinstate his real life once he brought Kashar in. Lying about his past and what the ID record said set him on edge. He didn't like playing that particular game, but the falsified record gave him plenty of reasons to get off-planet as fast as possible, without making him high-profile enough to create problems for people like these. He was scum, but not bad scum. He hadn't expected to have to face a warrior, though.
Are the codes genuine?
Winter asked.
We'll be in deep shit if we use them and they're fake.
I can find out, but they look pretty genuine to me. Some diplomats are going to miss them when they run out, but they can't be invalidated. It's a free pass for as far as we want to go. And back.
Grim tapped on Kyle's ID card.
We'll take you to Kanesh for both of them.
That's a rip-off,
Kyle protested.
How am I supposed to get home?
Last time I checked, Tamani wasn't in restricted space. You can likely catch a freighter home, Grim said.
And arrive when I'm 50.
It's faster than walking.
Grim's face was serious.
Both codes. We'll kit you up and feed you and make sure nobody's going to hurt you, worse, while you're with us.
Kyle glanced at Winter, but she looked pretty fucking serious, too. Both of that kind of stillness that came over people when they were considering killing for what they needed. They were mercenaries. They were harboring a morphing fugitive, and Grim had sold out on every warrior ideal he'd once held holy. That thought was sobering. He might look like a brother, but he wasn't. Not anymore. He'd taken over how other men conduct business and lost every claim he'd had to honor.
You're a fucking bastard,
Kyle said. Grim hesitated, then pulled the ID out and handed it back to Kyle.
It's business. You'll see that it'll be worth it.
That was a healthy chunk of my medical costs.
Grim glanced down at his legs.
You can't trade that shit openly, not on Kanesh. Not without connections.
Who says I don't have any, huh? You think I'm just setting off into nothing with no fucking clue what I'm doing?
Grim drew a deep breath.
I'm sorry.
He turned and ducked back into the cables. This was the cue for Winter to tap Kyle's shoulder.
Come, I'll show you your quarters. It's not luxurious.
Luxurious would have cost 10 codes.
Kyle turned away, but still heard Grim's snorted laughter. Somehow, That laughter soothed him, calming his faked outrage over being skinned alive with that deal. Back in his days as Hunter 5, he'd been the one interrogating captives. He'd had the most acting talent, and planting fear deep down in their brains just made things easier. Plus, they deserved it. Sometimes he'd leave the room shaking with rage, seething for a full 10 minutes before realizing the anger wasn't actually his, and that he had nothing to be angry about. Winter led him down the main axis of the ship. On the inside, she didn't look much different from any other morning star. The vital parts of the ship formed one line. Every section could be separated and shut off. The non-vital parts, such as the cargo bays, were likely not even heated, just insulated to save energy. Had some of those areas been converted to house passengers? Some slave traders used morning stars to raid and grab high-value slaves, but they were definitely not fit to ship anything beyond maybe 20 heads in any kind of comfort. The crew quarters consisted of 2 crammed spaces, one general living and mess area, and sleeping quarters with 3 high bunk beds lining the walls. Storage came as holes in the wall, closed with grills and nothing more. Those were large enough to hold another 2 people if necessary, but the ones Kyle saw were crammed full with basics like rations. 5 bunks with 3 sleepers made 15, the maximum recommended number of people for a morning star.
"This one's free. I'd offer you one higher up, but I'm not good at climbing."
Kyle dropped his pack on the lowest bed. At least the 2 on top looked unused. Winter shrugged.
"Stuff's in the usual place."
Kyle sat down on the bunk and reached for the woven black straps that would hold him during takeoff and landing. They were as wide as his hands, and withstood a strong tug when he tested them.
"Straps all in working order?"
"Yeah. Nobody's ever used those, but Grimm's anal about this. Even keeps a cryo unit on standby, whatever the fuck he thinks that accomplishes."
"It's standard procedure for deep shock in case of a hull breach."
Kyle smiled and tested the next strap.
"So you have an operating theater?"
"Just the basics to keep people alive."
That would be 1 cargo space down. Slave traders usually improvised with heated irons and chemical cocktails. So what exactly did these mercs live off? With the speed and armor of the Scorpion, they were certainly something more than extremely fast couriers for illegal freight. To run a smuggling outfit, you didn't need 12 mercenaries who looked like they'd wreck bars uncontested wherever they stopped. Smuggling only really took a pilot and somebody to keep the pilot alive and sane during the long trips.
"Ever thought of shipping VIP passengers around? Your little piece of lightning here could outrun everything out there."
Winter nodded.
"We've done it. Also run illegal cargo. And hunted pirates. There was good money to be made 1 year or so ago, as blockade breakers didn't follow the Doctrine's stay-out policy."
"You worked for the Doctrine zombies?"
Winter laughed, probably amused by the outrage in his voice.
"They put the contract on the market, and supplied the shield generator they'd salvaged as a bonus payment. That was a good time. But then things got a bit too cozy, and we made a dash for it before their polite, 'You want to join us, right?' turned too demanding."
"Surely you'd seen that coming."
The Doctrine committee generals hadn't exactly made a secret of their desire to unite all human space under their particular brand of brainwashed brotherhood. Even the Commonwealth was pouring tons of money and resources into war tech for when the Doctrine made its move, which many were expecting sooner rather than later. This crew wasn't stupid enough to ignore a threat that size.
"Yeah, we did see it coming."
Winter leaned against the bunk.
"If you want to stay an independent agent, you gotta play one against the other. That's why we're currently running in the Commonwealth. Plenty of work, what with the Glyrinny and all.
Some people say the Morphs are preparing for war.
Winter gave him a sly look from the corner of her eye. Kyle kept his face carefully neutral. Had she guessed why he was here? Or did she just fire tracer rounds into the darkness? He tested the last strap. They all seemed like they'd hold, but he'd only know for sure during launch.
Well, they're aliens.
And spectacularly mistimed aliens, too. Just as the doctrine was turning into a tangible threat, the Glirini had shown up, a brain-sucking, shape-shifting alien race of unknown capabilities or interests. Bad news on top of bad news. Nobody could even guess what unpleasant surprises Glirini space held, so the border had been locked down and the whole area quarantined, which left the Commonwealth having to defend two borders, both of which could turn into hot combat zones at a moment's notice. No wonder the sector commissar was paranoid. Kyle sat down heavily on his bed. The mattress adjusted under his weight and actually felt more comfortable than he'd expected. He pulled his pilot bag up and shoved it into the storage compartment, twisting his back more quickly than he should have. Shit. A sharp pain zinged up from the bottom of his spine, and he suppressed a groan. It fucking hurt. They told him to keep his spine aligned as best he could, but how the fuck did you do that while maneuvering in confined spaces? He froze, felt down into his body, tried to work out how bad it was. He turned back around slowly, exhaling as the vertebrae ground against one another. His spine felt brittle, like it could snap in the middle, like an old hollow branch.
You all right?
Shouldn't have done that.
Kyle grimaced and lay back on the mattress.
Help me get my legs up.
He hated asking for help, but straightening his back and aligning the rest of his body was the best thing he could do right now. The alternative was to try to get up and hope that whatever had dislocated would snap back into place. Winter lifted his legs onto the bed and helped him straighten out.
Need something for the pain?
It doesn't actually hurt that much.
Also, there was no pill available for phantom pain.
I'll just rest a bit. Wake me up when we start.
Not that he'd be able to sleep through a launch. He woke when the overhead light changed from yellowish to red. He must have been exhausted, because somewhere in the meantime he'd missed the arrival of the other mercs. The remaining beds were occupied, and everybody was already strapped in. The mattress had hardened underneath him, a clear sign of launch preparations. He started to fasten his own straps. Winter stood in the aisle.
All ready, Captain.
Grimm moved from the doorway into the middle of the room, where Kyle could see him clearly, his dark eyes shrouded in the low light. For a second, he didn't look human at all.
Very well. Get strapped in.
Winter lay down on the bed, and Grimm helped her buckle all the straps. He tested the fastenings and adjusted a support block under her neck, then adjusted the fastening of the last strap, which ran across her belly. He turned to Kyle.
Time to wake up, Kyle. We're about to launch.
Nobody sleeps through an atmospheric launch.
I had a comrade on Morton who did.
Grimm crouched and tested his straps.
You keeping the prostheses on?
They'll be fine.
Grimm surveyed the strapped-down landscape of his body, studying him slowly and with far too much interest. Kyle hated it. But that look held a possibility, almost an offer. He could imagine them together, him whole and well, Grimm under his control, pleasuring him. Fuck, where had that come from? He hadn't had such thoughts for weeks, not since the injury, the recovery. His libido had died a cringing death somewhere between the battle and the hospital. But at least his body didn't betray him. Nothing happened in his groin. Nothing at all. But it would have.
Now that's a new one. You go for the swaggering assholes, Kyle. because that's exactly what you were before they killed all those nerves.
Grimm reached over and tested another fastening, brushing him with his knuckles.
You do look rather appetizing, all tied up at my mercy,
he whispered. Shit if his dick didn't try to stir. And had a fallen warrior just propositioned him? Formerly selfless protector of widows and orphans and cripples? The possibility shocked him. Warriors usually kept to each other, as if fucking a lesser member of society diluted their masculinity. Hard to imagine that Grimm's standards had slipped quite so far. Somehow, it had become extremely hard to resent him. The remaining anger was now more about the fact that he was not Grimm's equal, couldn't even move his legs without help.
So you fancy fucking a slab of unresponsive meat?
Grimm leaned closer, too close, face to face. Close enough to smell soldered cables, plastic, and machine oil. He smelled like an engineer, not a pilot.
I'd make you respond. You could say I owe you after taking both your codes.
He smiled.
Just let me try.
He touched the side of Kyle's neck, and Kyle jerked. He couldn't tell what was worse, how intrigued he was by that promise, or how little he believed it would actually happen. Grimm shoved a support block under Kyle's neck and stood.
Time to launch. Relax, guys.
He swaggered out, and the door sealed. Somewhere, a man hyperventilated, sucking in harsh, fast breaths to saturate his blood with oxygen. Another whispered what sounded like a prayer in a foreign language. Kyle closed his eyes and mulled Grimm's words. His promise. Why Grimm would be attracted to him, or pretend to be. But what could he gain by pretending? The diplomatic codes were by far the most valuable thing Kyle had owned. Grimm surely would not be fucking him for his money. And damn, but it was a promise he was actually interested in. Maybe because Grimm was a piece of home, a twisted, changed piece, but an embodiment of memories nonetheless. To prepare himself for the launch, he imagined his consciousness fusing with the steel, ceramic, and titanium shell around him, like he had when he'd sat in the pilot's chair. It was self-deception. This ship wasn't his body, and the mental exercise served no purpose, unlike the times when he'd used it to familiarize himself with a new ship or reacquaint himself with a current one at the beginning of a shift. A low vibration signaled the thrusters were on, two of them. Then the vibration got so strong it rattled his teeth. Four thrusters? Or had Grimm merely cycled them up to firing?
Mother of light, father of darkness.
Here goes,
Winter groaned between clenched teeth when suddenly all the engines fired. The vibration turned into a bone-shaking tremor, a million parts quaking in their foundations or locked behind cages as the ship launched. It was a combat launch, not designed for passengers but soldiers. The acceleration was brutal, like 1,000 organ-bursting kicks against every tissue in his body. A frail passenger, or one not strapped down and supported by the intelligent foam of the beds, wouldn't have survived the pressure against the heart and lungs. Grimm was flirting with swelling their brains and their skulls, turning the gray matter, or whatever color Winters had, into mush trickling out of their noses and ears. Somebody screamed, or tried to. It was a breathless, pained keening that Kyle didn't want to hear again in his life. Utter agony. He couldn't even dream of turning his neck, pressed into the mattress as he was, expecting his organs to burst through his back and ooze onto the floor. He fought to stay conscious, focus on breathing, gulping down what oxygen he could. If Grimm was following standard procedure, O2 content would be higher now to help them survive, but it still felt like breathing with a mountain on his chest. Everything hurt. And then, the pressure was gone. The pain an echo. The ship had left the planet's atmosphere and the worst of the gravity field. Winter moaned a curse and released her straps. Kyle turned his head and noticed her get up. She staggered to her feet and turned to the mercenary closest to her.
You good?
The man answered in the affirmative, and Winter made the rounds, from one to the next, ensuring everyone was conscious and nobody had bitten off their tongue. Kyle just floated in his own mind. The launch pain had turned effortlessly into a high that was better than most drugs he'd ever tried, usually on long spells of leave from the Space Navy. Those people didn't joke around about recreational drugs. He felt weightless, euphoric, and aware of how much the natural adrenaline buzz affected him. He released his straps and sat up, wobbly even sitting down, so he steadied himself against the bunk above him.
That was a fucking brutal launch.
Winter nodded.
Like he just robbed a bank.
She glared toward the door.
I'll have a word with him.
Kyle would have killed to see the big gray gal go toe-to-toe with the Tamanian warrior. But sneaking in after them would look weird, considering he was just a tolerated passenger with no personal stakes. He shifted his weight closer to the edge of his mattress and glanced up to the bunks opposite him. The mercenary couple was already sitting on the same bunk, whispering to each other. One of them glanced over at him, wearing a lazy, relaxed smile that bore the aftertaste of a mellow shag and good-hearted happiness. Kyle envied him. Actually, them both. They looked so comfortable with each other, like they existed in their own bubble where nothing, not even a thruster-scorching launch, rattled them for long.
Hey, you.
Kyle looked at the taller of the two.
Yeah?
What's your name?
Kyle?
I'm Jay, and this is Petros.
The taller, Jay, put a hand on his lover's shoulder.
You from Tamani?
Yes, South Continent, where Grimm's from.
Petros smiled.
Looks like you'll fit right in.
Flirtation? Or a somewhat awkward welcome? Kyle decided to smile back.
I wouldn't mind working for the fair, but Grimm's robbed me blind.
You're a spacer, Jay observed.
Ex-spacer. Got it in one.
You fight?
Not anymore, unless there's some martial art I can adapt to incorporate my new range of movement.
Kyle stood and tapped at the prosthesis that moved his legs for him. Petros also stood, regarding him with one long, measuring glance that lingered at his hip area. Was he looking at his metal bits or checking out his dick? Petros seemed to have a fair package on him, not that it was easy to tell in the jumpsuits, and not that it mattered, with his lover sitting within reach and watching closely. Something about Grimm had reawakened Kyle's long-dormant desires, reminding him of all he'd lost. It was as if that odd touch, that tempting promise, had ripped a scab off his soul.
Balance is going to be a challenge, Petros said, snapping Kyle from his thoughts.
Yes, and acceleration.
And fine-tuning, and the fact that he felt absolutely nothing, which would be a problem if he used his feet and knees to hit a human body. Those had bones, and hence were much less of a soft target than his strategy instructor had drilled him to believe. He wouldn't feel the damage he might do to himself if he used his legs to fight. And another thing kept him from fighting, the fear that he could mess up his spine worse than it already was. Petros rubbed his chin.
There are some things you can do. Holds and throws that don't require you to move much. I could show you.
Jay laughed. Only if I can watch. This was getting too personal, too fast. Kyle lifted his hands.
I'm no fun, I promise.
If the Merc's interest went any further, he still had the option of letting him down gently, and then not so gently if he insisted. Nothing he couldn't deal with, especially as somebody who'd apparently been incarcerated. He glanced around for something to help him change the topic, but the sparse room didn't yield anything conspicuous. Winter came back just as the silence dragged on for too long.
Kyle, Grimm wants to see you.
What shape is he in?
Winter hesitated, then grinned broadly.
I didn't hit him or anything. Just told him next time he launches like that without an emergency, I'll have his balls.
And what did he say?
Said it was an emergency,
Winter snorted.
Go see him.
Kyle stalked off, but didn't hurry. His senses had mellowed in the post-adrenaline haze, but he still kept both eyes open for unaccounted-for spaces on the ship. He'd hoped somebody would have let something slip about a passenger, but so far, nothing. Maybe they were too professional for that. Or maybe the commissar had it all wrong and these people weren't actually harboring a fugitive spy. The path to the ship's nerve center led through the mess area, now crowded with four men preparing food and putting up the long, narrow table and benches that had been folded down. He navigated around them, walking down the corridor and stepping through the last door that swished open for him. There were still some cable bundles hanging about, and he ducked beneath one. In the pilot's seat, Grimm had reclined so far back it looked almost like he was lying in a bed. He was wearing the gray jumpsuit, but it was open at the chest, and he'd shed his combat boots, feet, and tight compression socks.
Ah, Kyle. Thanks for coming.
Beyond the metal shell surrounding them was the deep black of space. The screens that covered half the available room in front of the pilot's seats were alive, offering the illusion of staring right into the void. Grimm leaned forward and slapped a button. The door behind Kyle whispered shut. Kyle refused to glance behind him to acknowledge the noise.
What's up?
He could speak in innuendo, too. Grimm turned his head lazily. His expression spoke of the same adrenaline haze Kyle had been floating in.
You have flight training. Would you mind being useful?
Co-piloting the ship?
I'd prefer another human to watch the instruments while I'm sleeping. Our course shouldn't be too dangerous, but you never know.
That was reasonable enough, but something told Kyle that wasn't all there was to it.
Any other reasons?
You seem like the type who gets easily bored.
Not at all.
We could spend time together, exchange stories.
Grimm winked at him.
Also, the co-pilot's seat is more comfortable than your bunk.
Kyle glanced at the other seat, which was piled high with cable bundles and spare parts. He walked over to it, put a hand on the firm material of the cushioning, and squeezed it.
I'm out of practice.
I don't need a fighter pilot for this, just somebody who can wake me up when it's really urgent.
I should be able to execute a launch that doesn't kill anybody.
Grimm laughed.
I didn't. I just underestimated the thrust I'd get out of this old lady after the modification.
Winter said you told her it was an emergency.
Grimm hesitated, as if caught lying.
Okay. Control was about to push us back in the queue in favor of a diplomatic envoy. I didn't stand down.
That made you popular.
By the time we return, it'll be forgotten.
Not that Kyle believed him. The hasty start pointed very much to illegal cargo of some sort.
Why do I get the sense that you're not telling me the truth? What is this? You guys in trouble with the law?
No worse than you, Grimm said. I'd say you fit right in. Let's get that pilot seat set up for you.
Grimm did most of the calibration, which spared Kyle the associated twisting and turning. Kyle relaxed while the chair's intelligent foam filling, which kept pilots secure through the maddest maneuvers, adjusted to his weight, size, and overall distribution. Sitting in a fighter pilot's chair felt like coming home, although Kyle had to hide how at ease he was. The other Kyle, as he thought of his cover, didn't have the thousands of flight hours he had. Or the combat training. Fighter pilots were drawn from the Commonwealth's very best, usually law-abiding citizens, considering the value of every single ship. Wouldn't do to put a maverick in charge who'd turn tail and sell the ship, and or his services, to any number of pirates out there. In his case, starting out with Hunter 5 had fast-tracked him into the career he'd actually wanted.
"Let's set this up,"
Grimm murmured, sliding his hand in between the cushioning and Kyle's shoulder. The chair made a disapproving squeak, begrudgingly adjusting to the intrusion of living tissue between the pilot and itself. Grimm ran his fingers along Kyle's arm, down to his hip, and across the curve of his ass.
"Yeah, nicely responsive."
Kyle glanced at him.
"You wish."
Grimm paused, then grinned.
"I meant the chair."
"Knock it off. I'm really no fun."
His standard letdown these days. Not that he had to use it often. With the prostheses, most people treated him like he'd suddenly morphed into a different species. Something way too complicated to have sex with. And he'd grown to agree. He was too complicated to attempt a connection with the other species. The abled. Especially when the connection was something as fragile as sex.
"I'll decide whether you're fun or not."
Grimm's hand hovered near his hip rather than making its way down his legs.
"Maybe I think you are."
Kyle swallowed. Now Grimm was insistent. He was Tamanian, and fuck, he was also a warrior. Shining knight on a white steed. A born and bred hero, selfless and noble. And even though Grimm had clearly made a mockery of the tattoo on his face, Kyle still felt that old reflex to take his hurt to a warrior.
"Take your darkness to the warrior, for they can slay it." "Some kind of warrior you are," Kyle muttered.
"You're evading the question."
"What fucking question?"
"Can I kiss you?"
"You didn't ask. And it's a no,"
he was about to add. But Grimm shut him up with a deep, curiously intense kiss. It wasn't even probing so much as familiar, like they'd been lovers before, even for years, and the old spark had never withered. He tasted of electricity and copper wires and all too human. Kyle groaned with pleasure when Grimm ran his fingers through his hair. He felt more alive than he had in weeks, his scalp tingling under a touch too sensual to have come from a stranger.
"I've wanted to do that for a while," Grimm murmured.
"I'm sure Jay and Petros wouldn't mind a third guy."
Grimm smiled.
"Not interested."
"Focus on the work."
Kyle pushed the thoughts away and then the man.
"You got from me what you wanted.
Pretend this is still about the stupid codes."
"Not by a long shot,"
Grimm said, and it sounded like a promise. Kyle shifted his weight as best he could to test the chair himself, but everything was in order. He just needed to do something so he didn't have to look at Grimm or acknowledge the touch.
"Give me access to the system."
Grimm laughed, stood back, and adjusted himself in his jumpsuit.
"You can have all the access you want."
"Bastard."
Kyle's gaze stuck for a second to what Grimm held in his hand, and a hot cold sensation flashed over him, a memory of arching over the body of another man, sweaty skin sliding together. He ground his teeth in frustration. Ever since the injury, nobody had been so insistent on getting into his pants. He'd overheard a nurse saying he was damn cute and it was a crying shame, but nobody had managed to get him into bed. Early on, he'd resolved that people who wanted him because of the prostheses, and there had been two or three, were fucking freaks, and he wanted nothing to do with them. But he hadn't counted on meeting a warrior so far from home.
"The system,"
he reminded Grimm.
"Fine."
Grimm threw his hands up and went back to his chair. He tapped buttons and pulled levers, and Kyle's screen came alive like his body couldn't anymore. But he felt the current of excitement all the same. He logged on, shook hands with the system, set up his ID, and the systems recognized the other Kyle, the petty criminal. Connected again. For a few hours, they worked in silence, Grimm in control of the ship, checking navigational data with an attention to detail that would have seemed manic even in the Space Navy. Had he messed up once and now took it much more seriously? Getting out of the solar system wasn't that complicated. Any experienced pilot could do that in their sleep. And at the speed they were going, there was simply no way anything but a high-spec hunter-killer commando could catch up with them. But then, an obsessive-compulsive co-pilot was better than a sloppy asshole, so he kept his thoughts to himself. Besides, he was busy getting to know the ship. Cargo Hold 1 had life support and heating, and Cargo Hold 2 was set up for it too. But right now, it was sub-zero in there with an oxygen level that would kill everything. And as far as he knew, Glirony needed to breathe. Their morphing abilities didn't reach that far.
What's in Cargo Hold 1?
Grimm turned his head.
It's a rigged-up operating theater.
Any patients in there? Or a frozen passenger or two?
Grimm's lips quirked, and there was an odd gleam in his eye.
Want to go explore?
No, I'm not going to look too interested.
Kyle focused on the screens.
What's the capability?
Enough to keep somebody alive for as long as necessary. You'd imagine that these guys sometimes catch a bullet or some raid and have to make an exit with a few wounded.
Yeah, figures.
Now, unless Kshar was hiding in the wiring of the ship or in a compartment somewhere in the living area, which was possible but not likely, that medical facility was his best bet. He noticed that the light inside the ship had dimmed in a mocked-up day and night cycle. This counted as dusk. He forced himself to relax. He was here for the long haul, or at least up to Ganesh. No need to rush anything. He was outnumbered and couldn't afford to blow his cover.
Who's taking first watch?
I'm fresh, Grimm said. I'll wake you.
All right.
Kyle lay back and closed his eyes. He reflexively tightened his hands around the grips of the seat when he heard Grimm move.
Relax, Grimm said, too close. Just getting you a blanket.
Kyle cracked an eye open.
While you're at it, you could take off my boots.
Grimm gave him a sarcastic grin and dropped a folded blanket onto his stomach, then crouched down. Kyle couldn't feel his touch, but saw his legs move as Grimm opened his boots and pulled them off, setting them carefully to the side.
What about the prostheses?
I can sleep in them.
Doesn't that give you pressure sores?
I need to take them off to clean every now and then. But now I'm feeling all right.
Grimm unfolded the blanket and spread it across Kyle.
Like that?
That's fine.
No use explaining that getting his boots taken off and being covered with a blanket was more care and attention than he wanted from a stranger. But at least now he didn't feel quite so exposed.
You'd make a good nurse.
I'm better with ships, but I know my way around some emergency procedures.
I bet. Part of the warrior training?
Grimm shrugged and sat down in the other pilot seat, his socked feet dangling in the air.
Giving first aid and even last aid to an injured comrade.
I never made it through those tests. Too selfish, weak, resentful, entitled.
Listing his character flaws to one who had passed the test seemed like a strange kind of confession. But considering the situation, that was the only common ground they had. That they had none, at all. Grimm had passed muster in front of the elders and would be welcome back if he chose to return. Whereas Kyle couldn't hope for the same treatment, despite everything he'd learned about himself. He'd been a decent soldier, a very good, maybe even exceptional pilot. But none of that counted on Tamani.
Why are you telling him anyway? Pushing him away by his pride and ideals? That he shouldn't pursue the unworthy?
Yeah, it was probably self-pity.
Compared to whom?
Compared to any fucking warrior out there.
Grimm frowned thoughtfully.
It's never too late for redemption. How you were does not rule who you've become.
too deep, and too true. If only he could honestly believe it.
What do you want from me, and why?
Grimm nodded toward the screens.
Having two pilots increases our chances of survival.
True again.
And?
And you're more than you're letting on.
Grimm's tone was serious, but not suspicious.
Mysterious stranger, yet familiar. No wonder I'm intrigued.
Fucking cripple who can't run, more like. Listen, if I were myself, I wouldn't mind blowing off some steam with you. I used to like that. But since...
He dropped his hand onto the prosthesis that surrounded his left leg like a cage.
That's over.
Grimm reached over and brushed Kyle's hand, then covered it with his own.
Damn,
what was it about the man's touch that keyed him up?
I'd like to try.
Kyle felt his heart beating faster and couldn't quite grasp why. He was here to hunt a damn morph, not to find out if he could still enjoy himself in bed. He had a fair idea about that, and it wasn't good news. And if it went as the commissar wanted, Grimm and Winter and everybody else on this ship would die.
I don't think that's a good idea.
He looked down at Grimm's hand, but the man didn't take the message. He didn't break the touch.
As I said, I know a good deal about anatomy, Grimm said,
and only then took his hand away and settled back on his pilot seat.
You might have to get your head around being on the bottom.
Yeah, getting fucked up the ass by a roving space mercenary. Exactly why the commissar had sent him on this mission. Kashar didn't reveal himself, and Kyle could only bide his time and keep his eyes open. At least he'd shaken off Grimm's more pushy advances, but he didn't believe the man had given up. Warrior pride. He found an opportunity to search cargo hold 2 when Grimm told him to get a new set of filter cleaners for the secondary life support system. The man just couldn't stop tinkering, even in flight. No Kashar. That left the operation theater in cargo hold 1. If that was another dead end, he'd have to actually look into the guts of the ship and peel back panels. Of course, the last option was the crew. But that would be dangerous. To kill time and make himself useful, Kyle focused on learning the ship. On pilot duty, while Grimm slept, he executed a number of maneuvers, trying to learn as much as possible about how she handled. The Scorpion was a beauty, if too powerful for her own good. If there had been any atmosphere, he could have turned her into a fireball. She was that fast. But out in space, that speed didn't matter. Simply gliding through the darkness beyond an immediate inner solar system soothed his mind. There was something meditative about watching over the lives of strangers. He'd probably been happiest as one of the nighttime pilots of a comet, or even a frigate. Or anything that made him forget that his legs were useless. The deadly emptiness out there was the purest thing he knew. But he wasn't quite lonely. For bad or worse, Grimm was there. Kyle had grown close with several of his co-pilots in the Space Navy. Living in special quarters or right in the brain of a ship, pilots were a breed apart, constantly breathing the same air, attached to the same wires, staring at the same screens, and, by virtue of drill and training, thinking the same thoughts. It was like having a brother or sister. He didn't mind Grimm as much after a day or two, though it got really strange to be sharing the living space here on the bridge, where they stashed their kit, cleaned up, and shaved. Grimm must have received some kind of drill himself. Most civilian pilots didn't shave or cut their hair while out in deep space, claiming it was bad luck. Only the space dogs ignored the superstition and maintained some personal standards of hygiene, despite the scarcity of water. A double-edged sword, though. Seeing Grimm with his chest and back stripped, making the most of a few handfuls of water, was a reminder of what he'd pushed away. The man was chiseled and beautiful, and exuded more brazen confidence the longer Kyle spent with him. He smiled easily, touched just as easily. But after a few days, Kyle realized that Grimm had accepted the no. His touches were those of a comrade or friend. Sure, perhaps too forward for a Tamanian, but the cramped space and the brotherhood of piloting tore down those barriers. One morning, he woke to a pressure, and realized he was breathing heavily, chest heaving. Somebody was holding him down by his shoulders. His lower back ached, a demanding pulse all around the implant in his spine.
Breathe, Kyle.
Shit. What?
Nightmare.
Grimm kept holding his shoulders down.
You jerked around so hard I thought you hurt yourself.
I guess I might have.
Kyle gritted his teeth and wiped his face. His hand came back wet. What had he dreamt? A lingering sense of dread sat deep in his chest, right beneath his hammering heart.
It's the trauma.
What trauma?
I was injured. Wasn't my choice, this.
Care to tell?
Take your hurt to a warrior. Why do you care?
Grimm groaned and was about to turn away when Kyle snatched his arm.
Seriously, why do you?
You're denying yourself a great many things. I don't understand it.
Grimm gazed at him, an oddly soft expression on his face.
Are you punishing yourself for something?
Kyle dropped his arm.
I don't know.
He really didn't. Getting attracted seemed complicated and risky, and he'd definitely not do that on a mission. He'd been trained better than that, but the latter wasn't something he could share.
Life's short, Kyle. I'm just asking for a little trust, or a little more than you're giving me right now.
I'm not giving you anything. It's okay.
He wiped his face again.
I was shot in the back with some new kind of weapon. Something that messed up my nerves but left everything else pretty much intact.
Sounds like a Glirony disruptor.
That's what the surgeon said. So whoever shot me was either a fucking morph or had morph technology. Ended everything. My career, my sex drive, my self-respect. I'm hoping somebody knows how to fix it.
Hence, you're headed toward Glirony space.
Ganesh is close enough. Maybe.
Kyle shrugged, glad that his heart was slowing and that the words pushed away the last wisps of the faceless nightmare.
I don't know. I even had the crazy idea to go into their space and demand they fix me.
Grimm gave him a long, thoughtful look.
I doubt they'd appreciate it.
Ever fought Glirony?
Maybe. It's hard to say with a race that takes whatever shape they damn well please. This disruptor wound, what did they do?
They healed what tissue damage there was, but the nerves are messed up. They don't transmit signals like they used to. The surgeons inserted a bridge module.
Kyle twisted carefully and touched his lower back, indicating the metal piece embedded in his flesh.
That connects to the outer prosthetics.
Bridging the gap between the nerves in your spine and the metal, Grimm summed it up. It's cheap and effective.
I was considering cyber limbs, but that's a nice chunk of money.
Not if you get them second hand.
Ew.
Grimm laughed.
I'd like to run some diagnostics on the bridge module.
Don't mess with it. It's the difference between walking and not walking for me.
It's not as complex as this ship.
Grimm took a half step back.
Come, get up. I'll have a look. I can do a clean and maintenance.
I'd rather you don't touch it.
Just a clean.
Come, trust me. Kyle stood with a groan. After that nightmare, he didn't want to go back to sleep, and he wasn't up to staring into the void outside. It was too much like contemplating death. And right after the nightmare, he couldn't do it. Besides, the surgeons in the hospital had told him to get the connection checked every few weeks. Fuck, if Grimm would do it for free, and he seemed to know his stuff, maybe it wasn't a bad idea.
Just a clean.
Yes,
Grimm helped him put his boots back on. Okay, he put them on for him, then walked him down to the operating theater. Not only was the clean a necessity, but he could eliminate this area as a potential hiding place for the Glirany shapeshifter. An unexpected boon, though he wasn't sure what to do if he did find Kashar. Here was hoping he'd find a way to incapacitate or kill him, and that Grimm either wouldn't get in the way, or would choose the right side to fight on. The lights flickered on when they entered, and the operating cell looked state-of-the-art and pretty damn impressive. The steel surfaces of the central unit gleamed under the blinding lights, and five life-preserving cryo-coffins were lined up against the wall. He made a point of walking past them. Four were inactive, and one was on standby for an emergency. All were empty. Damn. There went that theory.
Looking for something?
Just making sure there's nobody in there, like a stowaway, or a witness.
Witness?
Grimm raised an eyebrow.
My, Kyle. What are your plans for me?
Kyle chuckled and lay down on the operating table, turned onto his belly, and pulled himself into the middle of the table. He turned his head to look at Grimm.
You wanted to see the module?
Grimm studied him, then stepped closer and ran his hand down Kyle's back.
Take off the coverall.
Why?
I want to see the surrounding tissue.
Especially the tissue of my ass?
Grimm smirked.
That's a bonus. Should I do it?
Why am I doing this? Oh yes, warrior. Nightmares. Alibi for checking if Kashar is on board. Sure.
He tried to sound casual, to hide the panic welling in his throat. He allowed Grimm to open and slide down the coveralls, burying his shoulders, back, and then the module deep down.
That enough?
Might be more comfortable if you were naked.
Fuck no. You don't give up.
Grimm placed his hands on Kyle's shoulders, then slid them down, like a masseur might to test the lay of the land, as it were.
A clean and a check. Nothing you don't want.
Problem was, he was starting to want. And this place had more privacy than the pilot seats. Kyle huffed.
Get your instruments, Doctor.
He sat up again and removed his boots by himself, a laborious process that saved a fragment of his dignity.
I'll need to take the prosthetics off for this.
Then do it. I can give them a clean, too.
It made sense, but there was that damn helplessness. He was putting himself completely in the man's hands. Kyle reached back, found the lock of the module, and tapped it active. It opened with a whirr, and the prosthetics disengaged. He reached down and opened them, then allowed Grimm to slide them off his legs. Now, his whole lower body was lifeless meat. He slid his legs off the bed, supporting himself with both hands, then wriggled out of the coveralls. He tried to get out of them when they dropped past his knees, but his useless feet were tangled. Grimm knelt down and freed him.
Thanks.
Grimm looked up, clearly pretending he didn't see Kyle's nakedness.
I'll check the prostheses, too, once you're asleep.
I'm not planning to sleep here.
Or when we're back on the bridge.
Lie down. Kyle pulled his body back onto the table and lay on his stomach. Without any help from his legs, that was a major undertaking, but he appreciated Grimm not stepping in. He breathed against the metal, waited for a touch he could feel, or one he couldn't, but the first thing he felt was weight and warmth of a blanket that Grimm had pulled from a sterile pouch.
It might take a while.
Kyle heard the muted swishing of opening and closing metal drawers as Grimm made his preparations. He arranged a handful of instruments and scanners on a table next to Kyle's head.
It looks very good. Very nice installation.
Damn, had Grimm touched him? He felt nothing.
I used to get told I had nice eyes.
Grimm chuckled.
Many nice things on your body. I'd appreciate all of them. I'm going to touch you below the module now.
Go for it. I won't notice.
Grimm stepped close, his shadow falling over Kyle, Then something scraped against the metal disc embedded in his spine.
Nice job. And nice ass.
Kyle laughed.
Thanks. I can tell you where to get one if you want it.
Grim reached for a tissue scanner and placed the cool sensor high up on Kyle's spine, then slid it down. Kyle felt it circle the metal disc and the implant it sealed before Grim lifted it away to check the monitor.
Yeah, what I thought. You have a bit of inflammation going on. Wouldn't be surprised if the swelling were pressing on something important without you noticing. Fixing it might improve your ability to feel something.
So?
I'm going to inject an anti-inflammatory.
Grim put the scanner down and let his hand hover over a syringe on the table. Old-fashioned needle, but the place he'd need to get was beyond a more sophisticated hypo-injector's reach.
Shit, that looks like it'll go deep.
Yeah.
Grim looked around, then walked to a cabinet in the far corner that opened with a pneumatic hiss when he dialed in the access code. Kyle closed his eyes and forced himself to relax. Yes, if some kind of swelling was pressing down on his nerves, that was bad news, and he kind of trusted Grim. He was so competent with everything else. It was difficult not to. Plus, a guy who tried so hard to get into his pants wouldn't hurt him. Even more importantly, a warrior wouldn't harm a man who couldn't defend himself, unless it was a mercy kill. He shook that idea from his head. He hardly qualified as that, even by warrior standards. Grim came back and placed a hand flat on the module.
This might hurt.
That's never a good message,
Kyle hissed when he felt the invasion from the needle as sharp pressure.
Ow! Careful! There's spinal cord and stuff in the way.
Roger that.
Grim ran a gentle hand from between Kyle's shoulder blades down the curve of his back.
I hope this will help, he said calmly.
The pressure got worse, and Kyle assumed it was Grim pushing the plunger. Why had he agreed to this again? Grim fixed machines, not people, and he was not enough machine by a long shot to qualify as one.
Just a bit more, half done. It's going to tingle.
Tingle?
Kyle asked when a sudden wave of heat raced through his whole body.
Shit! Shit!
What's wrong?
Every cell in his back flared as though the metal disc was starting to sear his flesh, but his nerves had it backward. The metal couldn't possibly heat up like that. It had to be the meat. He was panting like his body was burning way more oxygen than he could breathe.
What the fuck was that?
Broad-spectrum anti-inflammatory.
Feels like I'm allergic.
Kyle stared at his trembling hand and balled it into a fist, but the tremors were everywhere in his body, shaking him like he was freezing to death.
Fuck! This isn't good! This isn't good!
He curled up, his hands pulling his legs as close as they would go. Felt like he was starting to shake apart.
Do something!
Grim touched his temple, and Kyle felt sweat dripping from his face to his neck. Mother of light, what was happening?
You'll be fine. I've never seen anybody respond like this.
You're seeing me respond like this, asshole!
Kyle felt the sweat puddle around him and imagined smoke rising from his skin. It didn't hurt as much as it felt surreal and eerie.
Getting too hot. Shit! Help me!
Grim took him under the arms and hoisted him up. Kyle hated dripping his sweat all over the warrior, but he hated the state he was in even more. This was not supposed to happen, and he struggled to not freak out completely.
Think, Kyle. What was happening?
Grim maneuvered him to the one active cryo unit.
I'll put you on life support.
I can't stand in that thing,
Kyle protested, but then he felt himself being pushed against the back wall of the unit. Grim was so close he served as his only support, holding him upright, naked, in the tight space. The life support system fanned pure oxygen over their bodies. The sensors had already responded to their presence. The enclosure sealed around them and the temperature dropped gently, which brought some relief. Would Grim hook him up to the system and cryo him?
I'm here,
Grim said as he supported him up with one arm and shoulder and opened the front of his own coverall. Kyle couldn't believe it. Here he was, Going into allergic shock, sweating bullets, and this fawled, sacred warrior had pushed him into an ice coffin to fuck him? Or what was this? Kyle couldn't do anything but put his arms around Grimm's neck just to stay upright, their chests pressed together.
What's going on?
Grimm gave him an odd, crooked smile.
I'd say you're a very lucky man, Kyle.
That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Grimm closed his eyes, and Kyle felt himself relax. Sweat or not, a huge calm suddenly squashed his panic and discomfort. His eyes slipped closed, lids fluttering unpleasantly like a nervous tick. Something deep down kept insisting this wasn't right, wasn't what he wanted to do. But Grimm's chest expanded and contracted close to him, forcing a breathing rhythm that his body obeyed without question. Some weird warrior trick?
What are you doing?
Calming you.
Kyle slumped against Grimm's chest.
Damn. It's working.
He fell asleep. His dreams had been weird. He dreamed of the sector commissar, remembered the whole damn thing, and now felt listless and at the same time oddly refreshed. He tried to get up, thought he felt his leg twitch, before he remembered he couldn't move his legs. He groaned with disappointment and felt so raw inside that his eyes blurred with tears. He forced his body up to a sitting position.
Here, these are clean.
Grimm turned around with his prosthetics in both hands.
How did you?
I helped you take them off yesterday.
Kyle stared at the door.
Where were we?
What do you mean, where were we?
Grimm came closer.
In here? We're flying this ship, you know.
Not in the operating theater?
Grimm frowned.
You all right? Have you eaten anything wrong?
It was either spacer madness or he'd been dreaming.
I dreamed you took me there, checked out the bridge module.
And?
Injected something into it.
Why would I do that?
You offered, and I let you? To fight an inflammation?
Grimm lifted an eyebrow.
I injected something into your lower back, and you let me. Kyle, I'm flattered, but that's a case of psychological projection right here. I mean, you can guess I'd be more than happy to inject something into your lower back.
The grin was all teeth and swagger.
Yeah, I walked into that one.
Kyle rubbed his face.
Hey, I would inject you. Just say the word.
Grimm smiled and handed him the prostheses.
I can definitely hook you up to them again.
Fine.
Kyle allowed Grimm to kneel and fiddle his legs into the metal cages and fasten them around his legs, but he connected them to the bridge module himself. The click-lock hiss came like a relief. At least now he could move again.
Thanks.
Grimm wiped his hands on his trousers.
I liked you, he said.
Kyle frowned.
What?
I said I like you.
Space madness. Kyle swallowed against a lump in his throat.
The trauma might be worse than I thought.
Hallucinations. Dreams so vivid they were more real than reality. Mishearing things. He was beginning to lose it.
And there's a morph on the ship. He's not hiding. He's out there, somewhere.
Kyle shuddered.
Do you know anything about Glirini?
Grimm stood and smiled.
More myth than hard facts, I'm afraid.
Two possibilities. Kshar hadn't boarded the Scorpion at all, and he was chasing shadows. Or Kshar had found the time to change shape. Then, he could be anybody. Even Grimm. Or maybe he was losing his mind regardless. He looked up at Grimm, tried to see that very average-looking human face in the warriors. But nothing about Grimm rang any alarm bells. He was helpful. Kind, even, and had tried to get into Kyle's pants. Wouldn't that be weird for a Glirini, sleeping with a human?
He hasn't yet.
That was true. Kyle swallowed hard and stood.
I need to stretch my legs.
Above all, he needed to think and eat something.
Sure, take a break.
Grim threw himself back in his pilot seat, and Kyle breathed a little easier when the doors whooshed shut behind him.
I might be fuzzy on the details of what happened, but Kshar is on board.
He trudged down the corridor to the general mess, where thankfully only Winter sat, mixing some powder into reddish sludge. The smell was enough to turn anybody's stomach, which probably explained why Winter was alone. Kyle sat down on the bench opposite her and noticed that her cement-gray skin was peppered with little dark dots just below the surface.
Winter, you all right?
Yes, she kept stirring. How are you? Haven't seen you around for a while.
I was learning to fly the ship.
He kept to shallow breaths near that stench.
How many cryo units do you have in the operating theater?
5. Why? You planning to put more than 5 of us into a coma with the next launch?
No, just wondering.
Maybe he had been there, or caught that fact elsewhere.
And what in all the gods' names is that?
Winter glanced at the red pulp in her bowl and then began to spoon it up. All hope that the stuff wasn't really food dissipated. She actually ate it. Kyle pressed a hand to his stomach to keep it from roiling, not that it helped. Maybe she was the morph. Only an alien could smell that and not retch.
Just trying to kickstart my culture.
She gestured at her face with the red slime dripping spoon. That the stuff looked like pureed frozen tissue didn't help.
The culture?
Like that meant anything.
I'm from Janus. Not quite my area.
What she's saying, said Petros, who had just walked into the room, is that she's a hybrid, genetically engineered.
Winter shrugged.
Luck of the draw. My ancestors were deep core miners on Janus. It's a giant poisonous rock, so nothing grows there, and all food has to be imported, which is too expensive, so there's some gengineering going on.
Kyle stared at her skin.
What is the augmentation?
Parasitic algae. See the dark spots? That's a new season of algae bloom under her skin. Feeds her, though. Which means we'll be calling her spring soon.
Petros laughed. Kyle blew out a breath. This was almost weirder than a morph, but he wouldn't show them what he thought of that.
Do you ever get used to that smell?
Winter covered the bowl with her hand.
You can give me some privacy, you know. Go play with Petros.
Yeah, come play with us, Petros said, baring all his teeth.
I actually wanted to talk to you, Winter.
Winter looked up at Petros and made a shooing motion.
Seal the door, would you?
Kyle let his shoulders slump when the door hissed shut.
Had a falling out with Grim?
Winter asked, dipping her spoon into the bowl.
Sorry about that, but I really need to eat.
That's, fine,
Kyle said.
No, we didn't have a falling out. I mean, maybe. I don't know.
From the start, then.
Winter blew on the sludge like it was hot soup, then put the full spoon between her lips.
Did you get any new crew members recently?
You?
And you don't count, Winter said between spoonfuls.
Unless you want to.
Kyle backtracked after having readied his next question.
Is that a recruitment offer? Why?
Unattached pilot. You're valuable, legs or no legs.
Another sip of sludge.
Maybe.
Kyle leaned his elbows on the table.
One question. Feel free to ignore me. You don't have to answer.
Winter waved an affirmative with her spoon, so he continued.
Is there, anybody in the crew who's been behaving weird since the last stop? Anything out of character? Some misstep or other? Anything at all?
Winter nodded as if to herself.
Not a question a criminal on the run would ask.
Damn, Algae Bloom Girl was good at poker. If he admitted as much, he was blowing his cover. But he did need help at this point. He was out of options. If Kshar was impersonating anybody in this mercenary crew, he needed insider information.
Agreed.
Winter sat silently for a few moments, as if considering the implications.
Who are you looking for?
A morph.
Winter let the spoon dangle from her fingers.
I could be the morph. Why trust me?
I don't. But if you've got a fight with your back to the wall, you gotta choose one wall and hope you're right.
You here to kill it?
No. I just have to find him. It.
Kyle shrugged.
There's a reward on its head. It's trying to get back to morph space. I need to catch it before it gets there.
Winter glanced up and met his gaze.
It can't switch bodies, you know. You can't hide a dead body on a ship this size.
No. I'm hoping I'll get it in whatever body it's wearing.
Mimicking.
Winter stared into her bowl.
You ever fought morphs, Kyle?
No.
It's scary.
Winter put the spoon down.
Once fought one who took my face.
What did you do?
Bashed her motherfucking skull in. Felt like I was killing myself.
Shit.
Winter blew out a breath.
Regardless, it can't kill anybody on the ship. That means you cannot act without proof. Do whatever you like on Ganesh or anywhere else, but accusing the wrong man might mean you crippled this unit.
Cripple it. Now who couldn't be replaced?
Grim.
Was Kshar able to mimic a pilot's hard-won skills? If it was Grim, Kyle was indeed the only real pilot on board. And you can't kill him, or trap him, because he might injure you even if you do win, and then things get really funny for your passengers. It made sense. It made so much sense. The sudden, violent launch? Kshar not used to his piloting skills. The attempt of the authorities to prevent their launch. Maybe they'd found the real Grimm's body in the spaceport. He, too, had been alone on the ship, which made the switch easy.
Mother of light.
Yesterday, he'd been skin to skin with Grim, with a morph, not a dream. Kshar must have drugged him under the pretense of checking him for inflammation. Did they need skin contact to mimic a shape? His skin crawled.
You look like you've stared into a leviathan's maw.
Kyle swallowed dryly.
I think I know who it is.
Don't do anything on this ship,
Winter warned,
or you will not be able to collect the bounty.
Kyle clenched his fists, but pushed the memory of the intimacy in his disorientation away.
I'll try.
2 days until Ganesh. Be a good boy, or be a dead boy. It's your choice.
Winter gave him an even look without malice or aggression.
Do we have a deal?
Deal. I'll try, at least.
But it was selfish and crazy to attack the pilot of the ship. He'd have to lure Grim away. And, fuck it. But he knew exactly how.
Code confirmed, flashed across the screen after an endless 5 minutes. Please proceed through Corridor Theta.
Grim hammered a quick confirmation, and the ship moved forward to the start of the queue for the slingshot gate. Being accelerated by that massive force always made Kyle nervous. With a war frigate's own reactors, at least he had the illusion that he'd be safe, but with something tiny like a morning star, he felt fragile.
In the force field of a slingshot drive, they could all be accelerated to pulp, and no force field they could generate would prevent that.
"Ready for corridor entry,"
Kyle announced, flicking the light to red. Grim buckled down.
"How do you like this part?"
"I was trained to do it in a liquipod. Like this? Not at all.
Ask me on the other side."
Kyle pulled a strap tighter, mostly to give his fingers something to do.
"All systems go," said the console. "Slingshot in progress."
"I half expected your codes were fake," Grim said.
"Seems they aren't."
Kyle breathed deeply and hit the intercom.
"Hope you guys are ready. We're about to enter the corridor."
He noticed Grim's ironic glance. Fuck it. Grim made a good co-pilot. Even if he was Kshar. Even if all he'd done was use his natural technological aptitude to learn incredibly fast. But Kyle pushed those thoughts away. Because he couldn't afford to let Grim, Kshar, know what he was thinking. It was the only explanation that accounted for every detail. The hasty start. The strange behavior for a sworn warrior. The weird encounter in the operating theater. His wizardry with computers. And yet, he still bought it somehow. Grim moved like a human. Joked and spoke like a human. Looked like a human. Flirted like a human. It didn't hurt that he was attractive and looked exceedingly familiar. Well, just plain old bad luck that Grim had been Tamanian.
"Welcome to the corridor," Grim muttered when the ship rocked hard, accelerating beyond Kyle's capacity to understand.
He wasn't a corridor technician. He had no clue how they worked apart from what he'd learned at the academy. And he couldn't say he liked the idea of punching through space-time, hoping he'd come out at the other end. He much preferred normal space, slow as it was. Standard physics worked for him. He didn't need anything that messed with his craving for logic. They sat in breathless silence. An hour, it felt like. Nothing, really. Not for a nighttime pilot sitting watch over computers doing their thing. The ship rocked again. Then late, the announcement was always late, always came after the fact.
"Corridor closed. Welcome to the Ganesh system." "Thank you. Disengage,"
Kyle responded. He put the ship back on course toward the fifth planet in the system, while Grim stood and stretched his legs.
"I'm gonna go check on the others," he announced.
"Sure. Just don't kill anybody and take their shape."
He completed the navigational steps and relaxed. Ganesh. Almost. Almost done. He lay back and glanced to the side where Grim had been. He'd have to keep an eye on him once the doors opened again. He could easily vanish on Ganesh if he so much as suspected he had a hunter on his trail. And yet, Glirini space was still a little away. The morph wasn't quite home yet. It was Kyle's job to ensure he wouldn't make it. A nasty twinge traveled from his back to his pelvis like a boring insect. He pressed on his hip bone with a clenched fist, with no real hope to stop the pain. It sat too deep, just a misfiring nerve confused, damaged, or reprogrammed by a Glirini weapon. That alone was reason enough to hate the morphing bastards.
"Nice landing," Grim said.
"You don't have to injure anybody, you know."
"Yeah, I barely felt that."
Kyle lifted his hands away from the controls and breathed deeply. Always made for a few tense seconds, that controlled fall through a planetary atmosphere. He wiped his face, surprised that his skin was dry, if a little hot.
"That's it. We've arrived."
Grim stood and patted him on the shoulder. Kyle reached up and took his hand, held it for a second too long.
"Where are you headed?"
"Probably going to help Winter get the ship ready again for the next hop. You? Off to the hospital?"
"Tomorrow."
Kyle rubbed one of the metal rods encasing his leg like a bar of a cage.
"I want a bath. and sleep.
And company?
Mother of Light, he's not attempting to replace me, is he?
Kyle looked Grim up and down. Despite what he knew, the attraction was still there. It wasn't Kshar's real shape, but damn, he'd shown good taste in picking this one.
I'd make you respond.
He huffed.
You want to try keeping that promise?
Grim smirked.
You won't regret it.
Probably not, because I'll be dead and you'll be wearing my face.
And wouldn't that be an interesting return?
He'd look like me, just without the fucking prosthetics. A new, improved me. Well, I'm all for self-improvement. You paying? For the room, I mean.
Grim's grin widened. He probably didn't realize how predatorial that looked. Or maybe he thought he was being exceedingly funny in an unpleasant kind of way.
Of course. I do give my dates what I can.
No fucking doubt. Kyle shrugged.
Fine. Just don't cry if your dick doesn't do anything for me.
It was extremely weird to follow a morph to a hotel. Grim chose one so close to a medical center it was practically rubbing shoulders with it. Meant as a kindness, or something like that, especially as Grim booked the whole week.
I'll be gone tomorrow, but you can stick around here, he said.
All to make him feel safe.
Damn it, but Grim was good.
Kyle just smiled and nodded.
I'll pay for breakfast, he said on the way to the room.
When the door closed behind them, there was that skeevy feeling again that pulled the skin on the back of his neck taut. The fact that he wouldn't enjoy any of this didn't actually matter as much as that sense of vulnerability, even if they never got as far as the sex. And he planned to make the catch before he exposed himself that much. He'd been different before the injury. Casual, confident, maybe reckless, and definitely not choosy once he got back planetside. Well, occasionally on ship, and regulations be damned. But everything was different now. His legs reminded him he was mortal. Being alone with a man, an alien, who'd probably killed during sex before, because it was easy to strike during an orgasmic thrall, made it worse. Grim sat down on the bed.
Want to have that shower?
Kyle nodded.
You can go first.
It's all right. Unless we shower at the same time.
No, we won't. I can't stand on my own and I need to take these off.
I could hold you.
Like in the cryo coffin. No thanks.
Let me feel a bit less pathetic, okay?
You're not.
Grim crossed his arms in front of his chest.
Kyle, you need to get over this shit. You are not your legs. You're not just your injury. So stop making it all about that.
That hit him right in the guts.
Leave me some dignity, will you?
Grim lifted his hands.
Be my guest.
Everything took on a double meaning when he knew that Grim wasn't actually Grim. The real Grim was dead, might have been dead a long time, but would he have said something like that? You're not just your injury. Damn, the morphing bastard was really good at finding weaknesses. What did they call that? Human hacking? He went into the bathroom and, after some consideration, locked the door. Grim could still shoulder through the flimsy barrier, but he'd most likely respect Kyle's privacy. At least for the moment. He sat down on the rim of the shower and began to take off his prostheses. He wished he understood Glirini, or knew the first thing about them. What information there was, and some people had to know more than he did, was probably extremely classified, and the sector commissar hadn't deigned to share it with him. How many Glirini were currently known to the authorities? Had they captured some? Study their capabilities? Was that why Kshar was on the run? Right now, he had no clue about their weaknesses. When he made his move, he'd have to rely on them having human vulnerabilities.
He slid out of the prostheses, then undressed, movements ungainly, even after weeks of getting used to being a cripple. Just taking off his trousers was a complicated maneuver, especially slipping them over his feet without messing up his back or unbalancing himself. He pondered taking a bath, but then put the prostheses back on so he could stand for a shower. At least he wouldn't have to go through the whole rigmarole again to get dressed afterward. He stepped under the shower head, dialed his temperature in, hot, especially after a long trip in deep space, as if he could chase the cold and dark from his bones, and welcomed the thick, steaming spray. The metal sat oddly against this skin as he washed, a cool skeleton turned outward that never really warmed. Cyberlegs would require less maintenance and no fucking bridge module that irritated what remained of his spinal cord. They'd allow him to run, jump, and definitely take a fucking shower in peace without nearly falling on his face. Damn them. The Doctor and zombies even had cybernetics that made the brain believe they received sensory input. In the Commonwealth, that kind of technology was so expensive it was out of reach even on a Commodore's retirement package. Cyberlegs wouldn't solve the sex problem, but they'd allow him to move as if he were normal, and if he covered them up, nobody would be able to tell the difference. He'd fit in again. Right now, that seemed like the best he could ever hope for, and if that meant delivering a thought-sucking morph to the authorities, it was a small price to pay. He punched the water out and reached for a towel. He pressed the cloth to his face first, then dried the skin around the prostheses, not scrubbing any of the unfeeling flesh, just as the nurses had instructed him, and checked for sores and bruises, trying to ignore that odd mix of emotions that always surfaced when he had to focus on the dead meat. Part compassion, part self-pity, and a great fucking deal of resentment. He considered wrapping a towel around his hips, but that modesty didn't really figure. There was no way he could get hard. When he returned to the room, Grimm was sitting on the bed, stripped down to his underwear. That whole impressive body, not his, it's not his, ready for inspection. Kyle needed to remind himself he was looking at the breathing mockery of a dead man, but it wasn't easy. The attraction hadn't just gone away because he knew Grimm was Kashar. In any case, the next half hour or so would decide everything. Whether he got his prize to exchange for cyberlegs, or whether Kashar killed him and took his face. Attraction or no, it wasn't about sex. Grimm stood and smiled at him.
Get comfortable. With you in 10.
Take 15 if that means you're clean.
Kyle sat down on the bed. He pulled a bottle of massage oil from his duffel bag and set it on the nightstand. The nurses had given it to him to rub on his skin, but he was less than religious about keeping that unfeeling flesh in perfect condition. Now, of course, it would serve a different purpose. Or rather, that was what the morph would expect. Anything to keep up appearances. And yet, thinking of Grimm's powerful body, arousal washed through him. He had to check visually to see if it did anything. It didn't. Too bad he couldn't just get a cyber dick when they installed the legs. Fucking morph disruptor tech had ruined that forever. He listened to the water run in the bathroom, sympathetic to the pleasure it would bring, even to an alien, after a long trip in space. He lay back on the bed, rubbed a smudge from one of the metal pieces holding his legs, counted his breaths, and gazed down his body. His stomach, his groin, his quads and knees, his skin dark against the sheets. The water stopped. He closed his eyes, straining to listen to Grimm's movements. The door opened, and he kept his eyes closed for a while longer, indulging in the thought that he was normal again, and that Grimm wasn't Kashar and wouldn't kill him.
Maybe I should let him do it, too.
Grimm was completely naked, breathtakingly so.
If only it were true, any of this.
Grim paused in the middle of the room and turned the tattooed side of his face to Kyle.
All yours if you want it.
I do.
Kyle waved him over.
This is going to be really boring for you.
I doubt it, Grim said, and moved closer to the bed. He was getting hard, and Kyle itched to touch him, revel in another's arousal that he himself couldn't express anymore. Grim smiled at him and got on the bed, one knee on the mattress, hands left and right of Kyle's head. His face came closer, then so close it blurred. The kiss hit him like an acceleration jolt. Despite their first kiss on the ship, it felt like forever since anybody had touched his lips like that. At all. It raced over Kyle's skin, sank deeper and rushed along his veins like a living creature. Unreal. Was that a Glirany thing? Kyle groaned and laced his fingers behind Grimm's neck, refocusing on his plan. Grim didn't shake him off, seemed unaware of the danger he was in, that Kyle could wrench his skull from his spine. Kyle considered it, wondered if he still had the core strength to kill a man like that, or whether he should just put him into a headlock and knock him out. One was a kill, the other a capture. But damn him, that kiss felt nice, that powerful body hovering over his fired up his arousal. Even though his dick wasn't connected, his heart and mind were, and the touch brought him alive with possibilities. He released Grimm's neck, clutched his shoulders instead, cursing himself for the softness, the hesitation.
Such a pity you can't kill the only man who's kissed you since you became a cripple.
Grim chuckled into the kiss and placed a broad hand against Kyle's throat, the glint of a threat in his eye. Kyle's breath hitched, and arousal uncoiled deep in his guts.
Oh, I can see why you're so into warriors, Kyle, Grim whispered against his lips. Conqueror and priest in one, isn't it?
Fuck you,
Kyle whispered back. Grim hooked a thumb into Kyle's jaw joint, as if he would bite him otherwise. The thought that biting would hurt them both flicked across Kyle's brain, and it was less like an awkward deal they'd struck, and more like Grim pushing him, leaving him no other way, no other option. Somehow, this made it all even hotter, as if having a huge, powerful warrior in his bed, or something that mimicked one perfectly, wasn't enough. Kyle opened his lips wider, tilted his head, and kissed Grim with more teeth than tongue, threatening, pulling him down. This was about the feel of Grim's cheek between his teeth, of Grim pushing him back to thrust his tongue into him. Primal, no tenderness, and thank all forces and powers out there, without pity. Grim rolled on top, his impressive dick brushing Kyle's belly. Kyle reached between them and curled his hand around it, offering friction and something to fuck that didn't involve getting oily and bored. Grim hissed and smiled at him again, then dipped lower and kissed Kyle's throat, eliciting a groan. The sucking kisses and bites felt like nothing Kyle remembered. Deprivation made it all more intense, and he'd never been much for foreplay, not with random hookups. He managed to ignore that his throat was bared to the teeth of a morph. What type of killer was Kshar? Did orgasm matter to morphs? Would he strike now? In 5 minutes? Or after?
Fool, you could have acted before he did. You still can.
Teeth traced his collarbone, tongue dipped into the hollow above, and if he'd been anything like the old Kyle, he'd have brought his legs up around Grim's hips and pushed him onto his back. He didn't bottom. Rubbing against each other or a handjob worked. Many guys he'd taken had wanted him to fuck them. Something about his size. But Grim was a similar size, if not larger. Scrawny little Kshar had definitely beefed up for this role. Grim leaned over and kissed the side of his neck, and Kyle arched again. Seemed he was totally neck-focused now that his dick was out of the equation.
Shit.
Let go, Kyle. I know you can. You're on the border. Let go.
Fuck, Kyle groaned. I can't do anything with it.
You don't have to.
Grim latched onto his nipple, and Kyle would have jumped if he could have. Part of him panicked and wanted to run.
You've wanted to run for a long time, you plodding half-golem.
Want me to go slower?
Fuck your pity,
Kyle growled and pushed Grim's face against his chest.
What would you do?
Grim asked, then licked the hard nub between his teeth.
If I could?
Yes.
Grim glanced up at him, dark eyes taunting him.
Push you down and make you blow me?
Grim pursed his lips.
Why so violent, Kyle? Does it make you feel powerful?
Kyle grimaced and was about to curse at Grim when the bastard grabbed him hard and pulled him over, rolling him in a full-body motion on top of Grim. The prosthetics had to be digging into his flesh, but Grim didn't seem to notice. With his fine muscle control lacking, this was awkward. He had to reach down to adjust the position of his legs. Grim was rock hard underneath him, and Kyle swallowed at seeing that expanse of flesh, ready and willing.
Clever bastard, making a show of trust.
Grim's heart thundered, his chest expanding with every breath. Kyle dipped low to kiss him. Everything changed now because he was on top. Suddenly Grim seemed precious, as if he owned him, and one looked after one's things, right?
I'm not getting you.
Grim opened his legs and lifted his knees.
Easy enough. We'll fuck. We'll both enjoy it.
Damn. What Kyle wouldn't have done to get fully hard. His body was trying. He wasn't quite flaccid. But the signals reaching his dick were too scattered. Push into Grim. Fuck him slow and sweet, or pound him into submission. No use. He was about to push away and curse Grim for mocking him, when Grim closed his legs around him, locking him in, their groins pressed together. And Kyle fell down onto his elbows, felt Grim's dick rub against his belly, the movements from Grim's hips and belly undulating, demanding. And even though he could do little else but resist and push down on him with what control he had left, that look on Grim's face was unspeakably sexy. Kyle could almost fool himself, believing he was inside him, giving that pleasure, or their dicks were rubbing together. He lowered himself further and felt everything else. The sheen of sweat building up, how their skin color matched, this crazy, powerful embrace of two bodies from the same mold. If not for Kshar, they'd be perfectly matched. Kyle closed his eyes and imagined that that was what this was. The arousal built up pressure in his body, but there was no way to release it.
That's good. Let go.
Exasperated, Kyle chuckled.
Humping like dogs, that's the plan?
Suddenly, Grim broke their embrace, turning Kyle over onto his belly.
That's it. He's gonna do it now.
Maybe death was the only way to get rid of this charge in his body. Oddly, he wasn't afraid of it, no longer breathlessly awaiting the morph's endgame. This felt too good, and fighting it seemed pointless. It might be a good way to go.
You fool,
Grim said affectionately and knelt between his legs.
I'd take the metal off, but you'd freak out, right?
You'd be fucking dead meat.
Damn annoying talkative meat.
Kyle couldn't help laughing. He hated to admit it, but he liked Kshar. Grim. Either. Both. Did it matter? Hardly. The man would kill him and take his place. Grim laughed with him.
I'm attempting some sexual healing here. Try to be more into it.
Fat chance.
Kyle looked over his shoulder and, mother of light, Grim kneeling between his lifeless legs with that giant erection was both sexy and unsettling.
Fat chance,
he repeated, with a meaningful glance at the huge dick pointing at him. Maybe it was a good thing that he barely felt anything down there, but he was into it, as much as he could be. He closed his eyes and relaxed, aware that Grim was doing something down there. Why not give him what he wanted? Then Grim covered his body again, shoulders to knees. Kyle felt pressure. no pain. His nerves were too messed up for pain, so he felt it like an insistent push that didn't really concern him. No pleasure, either. Yet that full-body contact was nice, enveloping him in heat and strength where he could feel, and his skin was electric with the closeness of another man. Grimm's fingers slid between his, and he squeezed while he worked his way into him. He'd take this part like a man, goddammit. When the pleasure hit, he almost jumped out of his skin.
What?
Grimm kissed his ear.
Yes.
A push from Grimm's hips did that again.
Dead meat, huh, Kyle?
No. He was on fire. Full. Horny as fuck, and this felt absolutely amazing. He groaned, not sure if Grimm would understand what he meant.
Do it again. This feels amazing. This feels.
Grimm rubbed his face against Kyle's shoulder blades.
You gotta take me. Every inch. No other choice.
I don't want a choice.
Fuck if that didn't set the remaining neurons in his body alight. Accepting because he couldn't change a thing. Because Grimm would make him take it. Because Grimm had hacked his crippled, stupid body and found the one hidden reservoir of pleasure.
Mother of light.
Those Glirini were clever.
I know, Grimm murmured, and you can have it all. I'll give it to you.
Shut up.
Kyle dug his fingers into the mattress, every movement of Grimm on top of him, inside him, sparking that bone-sizzling pleasure. He remembered that part of the fun well, that building need, the pressure to come and give in completely to sensation. But this was better than anything he remembered. He'd never felt anything like it.
Yes,
he agreed. On principle, generally, to anything. Not that anything mattered, not under the onslaught of that sensation. Grimm moved, every thrust precisely stoking his pleasure. A terribly incapacitating thing, pleasure. He knew better. He'd been a hunter. He'd never have allowed this, first the gradual tearing down of his control, and then how Grimm stomped right through his barricades. But it felt so good. Grimm had won, had conquered him, wrenching the pleasure from him, giving him something he'd had no clue he could have. And he did it without gloating. Much. The build-up was agonizing, the sensation keeping him on edge for too long. He wanted to jerk off, but that wasn't possible anymore, so all he could do was let the feeling burn and consume him, cell by cell, pleasure bleeding from where Grimm touched him to the rest of his body. And skillfully, Grimm fanned that flame, fucked him harsh and fast until there was no way out but to explode, the sensation impossible and heartbreaking. He came, which felt weird like this, orgasmed but didn't ejaculate, as if other parts of his body were doing it now, deeper, more intense, bone-racking. He collapsed on the mattress, bathed in sweat. This wasn't supposed to be possible. It defied everything he'd thought his body was capable of, or incapable of.
If he wants to kill me now, that's fine.
Grimm snorted and kissed his shoulder.
I'm going to pull out now.
Fine. Do whatever you want. Did he just ruffle my hair?
Kyle couldn't summon any outrage. Grimm chuckled and dropped down next to him, looking way more awake than he should be, eyes sparkling.
I'd say this means you won't arrest me.
Kyle turned his head fully and stared at him.
Arrest you?
Grimm arched an eyebrow.
Or were you assuming I was going to break your neck during sex?
Okay. The game was up. Kyle cursed.
Listen.
You're too competent for a petty criminal.
Fighter pilot with first-class training. You need money. You're a hunter, Kyle. You even have a reason to hate Glirini.
Nobody needs a fucking reason to hate morphs.
Kyle struggled to get up, but Grimm slammed a fist against his bridge module with so much strength it rattled every bone in his body. Fuck, that hurt. He lay there, gasping, tears springing to his eyes. Grimm stood, his movement oddly liquid. Or was it a trick of the light?
No, I'm not going to kill you. I know what they say, that we eat human brains to take memories. That's not how it works.
The pain began to ebb. Kyle struggled to get his feet underneath him and stand up. His body, still weak with pleasure, resisted. Fuck. He was slow, clumsy, now more than ever. He couldn't win an unarmed face-off, and he let the opportunity pass, for one of the best fucks of his life, but still.
You did kill Grimm.
Grimm smiled.
He wasn't a very nice man, Kyle. I'd say I'm an improvement.
Fuck.
He fought the urge to either attack Grimm or cover himself, but both impulses were completely pathetic and way too late.
Kashar.
Grimm, he still didn't see the damn morph in Grimm's features, even if he'd never met the real Grimm, crossed his arms in front of his chest.
Tell me how you're pretending to be what you aren't isn't any different from what I did.
I didn't kill a man for it, and I'm not a fucking double agent.
Grimm smiled somewhat wanly.
I've never been double. Doesn't matter now. Try to stop me and this will get rather scary for you.
A weapon. Anything. Only that his clothes and the duffel were on the other side of the bed. He couldn't really fight. Naked man facing off a naked alien. Great.
Just give me what you stole.
Grimm shook his head.
You know, I feel guilty, Kyle. For your back? It was me who gave that disruptor technology to your species. Then somebody used it on you.
Why?
Glirini weapons are meant to punish, not permanently damage. If somebody hit me with it, my body would regenerate. But in the meantime, I'd have ample opportunity to think about how the violence could have been avoided.
We don't regenerate like that.
I assumed it would save lives, among other things.
Grimm shook his head.
What a madcap plan. Your thoughts and feelings and memories are vibrations that I can feel. You never stood a chance. Not against me. Not against anybody else. Who sent you on this suicide mission?
Fuck you.
The Sector Commissar, then. Same bitch who wanted to splice my DNA to create human hybrid super soldiers. Nice friends you have.
Grimm glared at him.
The data I supposedly stole? It's my own genetic code. Sorry, but not handing that over for her to fuck with.
Wait. What? Vibrations? You can read?
Kyle recoiled, wished again he could reach some kind of weapon. Being naked and having this conversation,
just after he fucked you, Kyle, don't forget that part,
set him on edge. A weapon would have made him feel much better, for self-defense, if nothing else. Grimm glanced down at Kyle's duffel.
Anything you want?
Vibrations. Memories. Thoughts.
Mother of light. You were reading me the whole fucking time?
And lucky I did. If I didn't like you, I'd have killed you.
Grimm drew his shoulders up in an oddly apologetic gesture. He looked almost hurt. Kyle stared, because that was all he could do while everything fell into place. The memories, the weird encounter in the operating theater. If his thoughts and memories were vibrations to this Glirini, could he have manipulated it all? Maybe even his emotions?
I can't mess with your hormones, that was all you.
Will you stop doing that?
Kyle pressed a fist against his forehead, like it could block the transmission of those vibrations. How did he do that? Through the fucking floors? Must have been easy skin to skin.
Yes, the disorientation had been strongest whenever Grimm had been touching him. So why didn't you? Kill me, that is.
Because you're beautiful. So much potential.
Grimm spread his hands like a painter describing a vast landscape.
Humans are patterns to me. You are intricate, twisted, hidden.
but there are clean lines and bold colors underneath the grit. There's a taste of you I like.
What, I'm a flavor now?
Translating my senses into yours is not as easy as you'd think.
Kyle breathed out laughter at Grimm's tone of indignation. Just because Grimm was a brain-sucking, vibration-manipulating, self-righteous morph didn't make him any less funny or attractive.
Well, I was pretty sure you wouldn't replace me.
Why not?
Those prosthetics suck.
Grimm smirked and opened his mouth to say something. Then he stopped abruptly to listen. Or sense.
You didn't alert the security forces, did you?
No. I don't get officials in when I hunt somebody. They tend to mess things up.
Grimm stepped to the door, listened again, then looked at Kyle, calculation making his face cold and hard. Kyle felt his body respond with dread. Grimm looked at the window, touched the wall opposite, then came around the bed.
You still gonna sell me for a pair of cyber legs?
Kyle stared at him. He had to clear his throat.
What's the alternative?
Trust me. I'll give you your legs back. I'll make it right.
A fucking morph. Glirrany bastard. But those phrases were empty. He felt no ire. That leaden helplessness and resentment. Gone.
Don't you dare.
I can read you, but that's all, Kyle. I can confuse your pattern, but I can't make you feel things that aren't real.
This mind-reading thing is getting old very fast.
Grimm smiled. It will. Trust me.
He placed a hand on Kyle's neck, his body flowing like liquid rather than following the logic of bones and joints.
Yes, I'm getting ready to become.
He placed his lips to Kyle's and the electric current closed. It was like kissing a solid sheet of water. Waterfall. Thunderstorm. A static tornado, wind so strong and steady it felt like a solid body. Like he'd gotten a glimpse of Grimm's real nature. Vibration and resistance and focus rather than flesh. Grimm smiled.
I'm taking your pattern. I
become.
He said the last word and Kyle was kissing himself. The copy was perfect. Like kissing a mirror. It should have freaked him out. Just an hour ago it would have, but he felt strangely detached, looking at his doppelganger. If anything, he felt an odd but intense pity for the lines around his eyes from the mistrustful squint, the evasive glance, and that permanent slight frown like he was in pain. A dull, constant, low-level pain. The kind of face you wanted to smile at just to release its expression. Try for a smile in return.
That's me,
he said, not sure if he meant it as a question. Kshar half smirked.
It doesn't rule who you are, just what you were.
Well, jumping bodies and identities and patterns all the time, no wonder Glirrany had no concept of identity. Kshar gave him a long look.
Trust me. Time's running out.
I don't. I really, really don't.
Okay. Ha. You liar.
Kshar stepped around him in a swift motion and placed his arm around Kyle's neck, then the flat of his hand against Kyle's temple, and pressed. Kyle tried to wrench the arm away. If the pressure persisted, Kshar would knock him out. He gave a strangled sound, fought silently, but Kshar was good at this, evading any attempt to get a grip on him. His vision grayed, his heart pounded up into his brain, and disorientation robbed him of focus. It was just about staying conscious, trying to fight off this morph who might knock him out before breaking his neck. He felt breath and lips on his ear as he was slowly lowered down. And that was the last thing. Vibration woke him. An insistent, high-frequency buzz that felt strong enough to shake his teeth loose. He groaned, managed to open his eyes when his hand didn't obey him. His back hurt. his shoulders hurt, and his neck. "He's coming around," a voice barked.
"Maybe I should stay down a bit longer."
Kyle blinked his surroundings into focus. Oh. Chair. Naked cell. And four soldiers surrounding him. And an officer from Sector Sec, or Double Sec as they were commonly known. The officer stopped playing with his comm and lifted his head. He looked like a bureaucrat, brown hair thinning on top, eyes sunken. He had an intelligent face with a pale, cynical mouth. "Good morning," the Double Sec guy said. Kyle nodded. His head hurt, probably dehydration. He was hot and sweaty, somehow, but he shivered. It wasn't cold in the room, not by Tamanian standards. Half the year, the jungle was shrouded in half-frozen mist. But then he wasn't wearing a scrap of clothes.
"Morning."
"Do you know why you're here?" the sec guy asked.
"I didn't take a bar apart while drunk, I'd remember that."
"Oh, please. You can't mistake me for military police."
"No."
Kyle ran his fingers along the restraints that locked his wrists to the back of the metal chair he was sitting on. His legs, without prosthetics, were tied to the chair's legs. Had they dragged him all the way? Was he injured without knowing it? They could quite easily have messed up his knees. Without the prosthetics, he felt naked and helpless. "In the absence of memories of drunken violence, why is an ex-hunter here?"
"Somebody rat me out?"
It was worrying that the man had the clearance to look beyond the layer of the faked persona. That sec guy had access to his real file. The man shook his head. "I know you're a morph." Kyle laughed.
"I'm fucking not."
The man nodded to one of the soldiers who handed him some kind of electronic device. The sec guy switched it on and touched it to Kyle's face, then down his neck and to his chest. A row of LEDs began to blink. "You are."
"I'm fucking not,"
Kyle jerked against the restraints. "Then why do you test positive for Glirony DNA?"
"Oh, that one's easy. A Glirony deposited some of that in my ass. I guess I was contaminated."
The sec officer tapped something on the scanner's screen.
"I could have used one of those," Kyle thought.
It looked clunky, maybe a prototype. Way too expensive and experimental to foist onto a bounty hunter. "So you're saying that after a deep cleaning you would register as human?" Kyle blew out an impatient breath.
"Maybe your shiny new toy doesn't work as it should. Prototypes can have bugs."
The sec officer smiled at him. "I like my theory better. Sergeant, the subject requires a chemical deep clean to preclude the contamination theory." Kyle stared at the man as he was freed roughly of the restraints, only to be put in handcuffs. And no, the soldiers didn't particularly worry about circulation or bruises or how they handled him. But they actually expected him to stand up on his own, or his legs to respond when they dragged him to a tiled cell. There, they hung him from a hook in the ceiling by his handcuffs, and Kyle just managed to not scream with the pain of that. He wasn't going to give them that satisfaction. Not that they seemed a particularly sadistic lot, just businesslike. Lucky he was already naked. Being stripped while hanging from a metal chain in the ceiling would have been bad. One of them grabbed a hose and pulled it closer. Kyle squeezed his eyes shut and inhaled deeply before the chemical liquid hit him. His skin tingled under the onslaught, and then the chemical bite increased, setting every nick and scratch, every roughened patch of skin, on fire. He groaned when the chemical invaded his nose, and his whole head blazed with heat and an eye-watering burn. The flow stopped, and the foul-smelling chemical soup dripped from him. They let him hang for a while, allowing him to snort the liquid from his nostrils. The shit was everywhere, dribbling out of his hair, his ears. He drew only shallow breaths. The soldiers watched him. Then, at a sign, they grabbed another hose, this time pressurized water, Kyle managed not to scream when the powerful jet hit him. Sadistic bastards aimed at his face, his chest, his groin, and kept the jet there much longer than necessary. He did his best to keep his muscles hard and tight against that, and he'd never been happier that he couldn't feel a thing on the bottom half of his body. As long as they didn't come up with the brilliant idea to stick that hose up his ass, he'd count his blessings. Of course, that was where the worst of the contamination was. On one hand, he could clue them in and make this much worse for himself. On the other, the wash should have taken care of every other genetic trace Kashar had left on his skin. He'd just have to trust that they'd scan him where they'd cleaned him. They unhooked him and let him fall to the ground.
Bastards.
He managed to not fall flat on his face, catching the worst with his shoulder, which fucking hurt. While he was gasping from the cleaning, they let him lie for a minute or two on the wet tiles. All he could see was milky foam from the chemicals running toward a drain.
"Saves me a shower,"
he muttered.
"Take him back."
They dragged him back to the chair, still dripping, his legs sliding uselessly behind him. Sat him down so hard he felt the shock through his spine. That would have really hurt after Kashar had put that big dick into him, but he just felt the blunt force. The SEC officer ran the scanner down his wet chest again. The LEDs blinked.
"Still glaring positive. I guess you wanted that shower badly."
"Not possible."
Kyle licked his lips. He knew this officer wouldn't stop at anything. They could get away with anything in the pursuit of their objective. And if the objective was to collect Glirony heads, he would have to cooperate. Everybody broke in the end. And this guy was a pro. Dragging it out would only annoy him. Time to come clean, in a manner of speaking.
"I've had sex with somebody. Might have been him."
"Who?"
"Pilot of a spaceship that got me here. The Scorpion. Bunch of soldiers of fortune flying a heavily modified Morningstar-class ship. Birth yesterday, early evening, local time. At least I assume it was yesterday."
The SEC officer nodded to one of the soldiers.
"Verify that."
Then looked back at him.
"So you claim to actually be Kyle Junger?"
"Yes. I was hunting a Glirony double agent called Kashar. You said it, I'm an ex-hunter, sir. The sector commissar put an overlay on my ID for the mission. If you check back with Central, you'll get confirmation. At least if you have the right level of clearance."
The man's eyes flashed with annoyance.
"Have you ever collected the bounty on a Glirony?"
"No. I specialized in deserters in my time. Then I became a fighter pilot. The sector commissar recruited me because Kshard compromised her network of security forces. I'm not the obvious choice, but the best she had on short notice, I assume, with all due respect, sir."
That had to match up with the file in this man's mind. A Glirony might not know the whole story, might not have had the chance for a complete impersonation. Surely it took more time to perfect an identity. Surely they didn't catch every nuance of a victim's history. He hoped.
"You are positive for Glirony DNA."
"I told you. I had sex with a guy called Grimm. I guess that, did it."
"That wouldn't rewrite your own DNA."
"I'm human, sir. Temenian. Do you think I'd have been fitted with a bridge module if my spine would regenerate? I was hit with some Glirony weapon in the back. Ever since then I've been a cripple. I have many reasons to hate the fucking morphs."
"Then why did you sleep with one?"
"I was planning to capture him. Had to lure him away from the others. But he was faster and stronger. Knocked me out. There's probably somebody else running around with my face right now."
Kyle blew out a frustrated breath.
"Which frankly, sir, freaks me out."
"Since you still have your brain, he can't have done a good job of it," the man said, probably not to calm him. "He'll be lacking your personality traits or memories."
"Well, that's a relief,"
Kyle muttered, glad his theory worked. The SEC officer reached out and took a few of his hairs between his fingers, gripped them hard, and yanked them out. Kyle hissed but kept his mouth shut. He was playing cooperative, pliant prisoner. We'll use several more samples. I assume hair and tissue will ascertain your genetic profile. If these are not enough, we will need to take semen.
Yeah, and with him impotent, that would either mean puncturing his testes with needles or sticking a shock prod up his ass and triggering it to get him to discharge. Nice prospects, asshole.
I hope that won't be necessary.
A bloodless smile. The officer stepped behind him and came back with a needle, or maybe it was a tissue sampler. At least he put it somewhere Kyle could see it. He slid it into his left pectoral muscle and pressed a small trigger. Yep, blood and tissue. Kyle exhaled when the needle withdrew. The sec officer looked him up and down. This may take a few hours.
Be my guest,
Kyle said so softly that the men couldn't have heard him. Being a smartass never went down well with that type. The soldiers stayed, though, regarding him without noticeable emotion. At least they weren't the type to have some fun with a prisoner to break the monotony. Probably an elite unit.
Well, thanks for the contamination, Kshar. That was what you've been planning all along, right? Take my face and walk out, unmolested, handing the authorities one of their own to keep busy with while you get light years away? Nice trick. Trust me. I'll make it right.
And why did he want to believe Kshar? The man, creature, had gotten out scot-free, was close enough to his home planet to make a run for it, had a new identity and face, which he'd probably already changed. He'd succeeded, and was likely gone forever. Kyle waited, fighting against the lingering sting from the chemical shower and his pounding headache, though when his eyelids got heavy, he didn't fight it. Thank gods for the soldier's skill of falling asleep in any position. A leg cramp woke him, and his calf muscle twitched. He leaned forward to try to straighten his foot, and maybe he managed because the tearing sensation of the cramp eventually faded. He was just a lucky bastard that the phantom pain was back.
Wait.
He blinked and stared at his leg. Nothing. Dead meat. That cramp and the sensation had come from the murky realm of half-sleep, half-dream. Nothing to it.
Glirini weapons are meant to punish, not permanently damage. If somebody hit me with it, my body would regenerate. But in the meantime, I'd get ample opportunity to think about how the violence could have been avoided.
The door opened again, and the sec officer came in. Something was very wrong, and Kyle jerked in his restraints. Very, badly, wrong. That was a nice story, whoever you are. I almost believed it. Extremely, badly wrong. And whatever you aren't human. Kyle shook his head.
Listen.
And you're not Glirini either.
Listen,
The man glared at him, and Kyle's voice faltered. Hatred, fear, loathing. The disgust was so strong he could taste it like brass on his tongue, and it shocked him silent. Sergeant, transfer the prisoner to Central. Take the first flight out. Eliminate with extreme prejudice if it gives you any kind of trouble or if you spot any attempt to influence or manipulate you or any of your men. Expect Glirini tricks, but more than that. We are unsure of its capabilities.
Wow. One fuck with an alien, and they treated him like the scum of the planet.
Back to Central. It was a small hope, but it was hope. The commissar could clear him. The soldier gave a curt nod, stepped closer, and fastened something high on Kyle's arm, some kind of bracelet or restraint. It vibrated. An unpleasant, insistent buzz that Kyle hated the moment it touched his skin. Then the soldier pulled out a hood made of heavy black cloth and yanked it down over his face. End of interrogation. He'd moved from suspect to convict without so much as his own input. It had to be a mistake, but the sector commissar could still unravel the tangle that his life had become. They unchained him from the chair, put him in handcuffs, and dragged him away, again legs like dead meat sliding behind him. He began to hate it all from the bottom of his heart. The arrogance, the sector commissar's demands, the whole idea that the end justified the means. What exactly was that noble end anyway? All-out war with the Morphs before the Doctrine overran them in a few years? They might be the good guys, but he still loathed them for the casual brutality. Was it a wonder that Kashar wanted to go if this was how he'd been treated? The Sector Commissar. She knew about him. She knew everything. Quite possibly the Sec officer hadn't had the clearance to remove all of the overlay and resented him because of that. That guy might just be the type who'd smash the riddle if it couldn't be solved. They tossed him into a cell and let him wait there. No food, and worse, no water. By now, his kidneys hurt and his lips were so dry they would split if he smiled. The door opened again, and he distinguished two pairs of heavy boots. Was somebody kicking his legs?
Funny how the fucking Morphs always turn out to be guys when you catch them. A pretty girl would be a nice change.
Leering. Great. This was getting worse. Last thing he needed was more genetic contamination.
Heard that story of a guy trying to rape a Morph? Seems they can grow teeth everywhere when they want, a second voice said, and the first soldier sounded like he was choking. Get him dressed.
Rough hands slid him into a coverall and closed it. Immediately he felt too hot. Sweat now trapped in cheap, rough cloth.
Water, please. You can't drink anyway, freak, the second soldier said gruffly. We're not allowed to take your restraints or hood off. I can't flee. I'm paralyzed. I can hardly escape by crawling out.
A hand patted his shoulder.
You heard him. No tricks, Morph.
Or extreme prejudice. They grabbed him by the shoulders, and Kyle was surprised when his legs didn't just dangle. He managed to stand, his knees and joints and muscles holding him, if only for a heartbeat, because they pushed him and he lost his balance again. But he was sure, for one sweet, impossible, hot-cold split second, that he'd stood on his own 2 feet, with no help at all. Maybe Kashar hadn't lied, after all. Maybe something was happening here. And if that was the case, the last person in the universe he wanted to see was the Sector Commissar.
Same bitch who wanted to splice my DNA to create human hybrid super soldiers.
They marched him upstairs into an elevator. One of the soldiers complained about how heavy and unwieldy he was, and the other one told him to shut up. Kyle leaned against a wall, his knees buckling, but he managed to stand upright. He could taste their nervousness.
What do you expect I'll do? Grow a few dozen tentacles and rip you all apart? I wish.
The elevator stopped. The mood changed. The soldiers were alert, worried. Boot soles banged against concrete in a disciplined march. Kyle recognized the pattern and stride length of double-sex soldiers. Only the two holding him were out of rhythm.
Sorry, guys. For you having to drag me by my shoulders. I do mess up your nice formation, don't I?
The buzz of a crowd. Spices, burnt air, the acrid smell of fuel. The spaceport? They were taking the earliest ship out, just as ordered. The little unit stopped, and Kyle felt the soldiers who were half dragging, half carrying him breathe a sigh of relief. At least they didn't drop him on the ground. But the guy to his left was constantly changing grips.
Because his hand is cramping up.
Really? Was it? Kyle shook his head. The vibration was still on his arm, and he could feel it down into his guts, to his balls, to his teeth. He grimaced and tried to stand again and just about managed.
We're taking the prisoner from here, Sergeant, said a female voice.
I wasn't told about the liaison, the sergeant protested. Major?
Damn right, she said.
She was cold inside. Not one troubled thought. calm and vast as Temeni's southern ocean. Kyle knew she was pulling a weapon. She lifted it and shot the sergeant between the eyes. The soldiers carrying him dropped him to the ground. Ouch.
"Anybody else willing to die for a fucking morph?" she snarled. "Down. Hands against your necks. I'll grab him."
And she did. A powerful hand gathered him up by the scruff of his neck, then ripped the hood off. They were in a quiet part of the spaceport. He managed to stand, and a red-headed woman was slinging his arm across her shoulders.
"Come with us, or end up in a specimen jar."
"No competition,"
he groaned and staggered alongside her.
"You gotta run, Kyle. It's not far."
"Could be up to fucking Temeni with these damn legs."
She huffed laughter while the others, soldiers all, closed formation, weapons drawn. She frowned and briefly touched his armband while half-dragging him along toward the landing berths.
"What's this for?"
"Gives me a headache. No wonder. Who are you?"
They turned the corner, and there was the Scorpion. He'd always recognized that perversely powerful set of thrusters.
"Something tells me that this launch will be worse than the last."
"You can take poison on that."
"What?"
"Just a local saying."
She pushed him onto the landing platform. Everybody took positions, and the platform lifted them into the ship. The thrusters were already firing.
"Okay, who the fuck are you?"
he asked, but did hurry up toward the cabin.
"No time,"
she said, pushed him onto the bed and strapped him in. The other soldiers were hastily getting ready, too.
"It's going to be a running start."
"Figured."
She settled on her bed, closed the main straps, and tapped her comm.
"Ready for takeoff."
Never ready for this kind of takeoff, though. The thrusters sprang alive, fired a burst, then the ship swerved wildly, like on an obstacle course. That could only mean they had no clearance. Only the suicidal would attempt a wild launch on a densely populated world like Ganesh, with its very busy spaceport. Kyle did nothing but attempt to stay conscious as the acceleration tried to grind him into a pulp. Breathing against that pressure hurt, and giving up would have been so easy. No. He expected the blood to burst from his veins, but miraculously he was surviving, 1 second at a time. A minute passed, or maybe two, but definitely agony. Then, the acceleration leveled off and he could breathe. He immediately reached over and tore at the bracelet, then managed to fiddle it open. He found a switch on it and tossed the inert thing into the far corner. The others were beginning to stir, too. They felt familiar. He knew these people. The woman stood, and then her hair vanished in front of his eyes, as quickly as if eaten by an invisible flame. Her skin turned green. Winter. Spring. Shit. Kyle blinked, panic racing up and down his spine. Two other soldiers took Petros and Jay's forms.
"Mother of Light."
Winter considered him.
"Sorry about that."
"It's all right. Holy."
"Sometimes no wall is safe,"
Winter said to him and winked.
"Follow me."
Kyle followed her to the bridge, where another Kyle was just sitting back from the consoles. He turned and looked at him, then smiled and stood.
"Kyle."
Kyle pointed at him.
"What? Oh, how rude of me."
Kashar returned to grim shape.
"Is this better?"
"Much. I'm just overwhelmed."
"No wonder."
Kashar quickly glanced at the controls and pressed two buttons.
"You're surrounded by Glirini."
"It's clever. I didn't expect this. Any of it."
"That's one reason we're doing it."
Kashar smiled fondly.
"Winter and the others were my extraction team to get me home. We could tell pretty quickly why you were on board, but we figured if we didn't take you, we might run into other troubles. And the codes did help us speed up the journey."
"Yeah."
Kyle reached over to one of the seats and sat down heavily.
And I can almost walk.
Soon you will.
Why is that? What have you done?
You're a hybrid now, Kyle. Your fever attacks, the heat, was my immune system wrestling yours into submission. My DNA is already re-engineering yours. In a few days, maybe weeks, your neurological damage will be fixed, and you can walk, run, fight again.
Why? Why are you doing this?
I wanted to help you.
Kshar glanced at Winter. She nodded, squeezed Kyle's shoulder, and left them alone.
I'm sorry I had to leave you behind. I had to get the others, find out where we could free you. It took planning and some impersonating.
They know I'm a hybrid. They were about to ship me back to the Sector Commissar.
Yeah. Imagine soldiers that can regenerate any kind of damage. It would put the cybernetics companies out of business. Or, at the very least, cycle soldiers back to the front faster. With the Doctrine making noises like it has, having our technology and abilities might mean the difference for the Commonwealth between freedom for a little longer and a quick, full-death embrace by the Doctrine. I understand you're Sector Commissar. I dare say I'd act the same way if my people were under threat. But I might ask for help rather than trying to seize it by force. You humans, with all your talk of gratitude and gifts and mutual obligation, sure don't trust altruism and kindness. Maybe normal people, but not politicians. But maybe that wasn't a concept Kshar liked or accepted. Still, there were many pieces of the puzzle missing, such as what had triggered the change.
Was it the sex?
Hmm? No. I injected my own stem cells into your spinal fluid. They're reversing your cell's programming. You'll heal completely.
And what am I, then? A morph? A human? Your reverse-engineered clone? What am I?
Kshar shrugged, then grimaced. He was sorry. Kyle could taste it.
I believe that you will turn into a Glirony.
Shape-changer. Mother of light, father of darkness. Whatever the Sec guys had said, he wasn't Glirony. He didn't actually know what that meant. How was it being a Glirony? Changing shape, seeing people as colors and patterns and vibrations, being aware of them as taste? It freaked him out, made his heart race as if it could get away from the change on the molecular level of tissues already transforming around it. The change would fix him, but it would also destroy him. He was dying. The old Kyle was dying from this, the Glirony DNA like a tumor gripping his body and turning it into something he didn't control, didn't recognize, despite the so far familiar shape. He was not a morph, goddamn it all. He breathed, tried to keep himself from panicking. He wanted his brain to get it, he really did, but the panic nearly drowned out Kshar's presence, his calm conviction.
I can't.
You are yourself. But who you will be is a wide-open field. You can be whoever you want to be. You can even stay yourself. But in that case, I'd strongly suggest going far away from the Central Worlds. They don't like our kind there very much, and I assume your identity is now truly that of a criminal.
Fucking smartass. Kyle ran his fingers along the rim of the pilot seat. Our kind. He wasn't. He had no idea how to be a Glirony.
I'm losing everything.
I wouldn't have done it if you had been a fully integrated part of your species with a place in society.
My tribe would have taken me back after some serious censure for leaving in the first place. It's my tribe or the stars, and I don't think I chose wrong last time.
Gods only knew how they would respond to his new self, though. But Kshar was right. No family, no job, no role or duty. No real home, four walls, a patch of land on a colony planet. He'd been human flotsam, barely kept afloat by Social Security. And even fixed, he wouldn't dream of rejoining the Space Navy.
So, you're picking up stray humans to do what?
Not just any stray human.
Kshar smiled again at him.
You're more to me than that.
I'll just have to trust him. So far, he's not guided me wrong. Despite the lies and deception, despite injecting me with his own fucking DNA, Kshar has kept his word. He could have left me to rot. He could have killed me. I was his enemy, and he helped me.
Kyle relaxed, blew out a breath that had stuck in his lungs.
I guess I hate it when you're right. Seeing through all my disguises, seeing the man I can become rather than the man I was, or have been.
You'd better get used to that.
Kshar grinned and drew closer.
I fully intend to teach you everything you've been missing. Once your healing is complete, I'll teach you how to become. How to take a pattern and how we can merge patterns.
It sounded extremely sexual. Kyle swallowed. What was it about Kshar that always stroked his dick? And these days, he could almost feel it, too. That was one of the things he was looking forward to. The main one, really. Fucking Kshar instead of getting fucked. They did seem to like the same things, and they were beautifully matched. Sex would be a battle, a struggle with two victors. He'd shown him that much already. Kshar nodded to him.
The possibilities, Kyle. All that potential.
Kyle stared at him, and he could almost see it. Pulsing, vibrating movements beneath the perfectly placid Tamanian features. Living patterns under the skin, seemingly eternal, transcending whatever face or body Kshar was wearing. The body just one of a myriad of possibilities. That was the crazy thing. He could sense Kshar underneath, and he knew he'd be able to sense him in whatever body. Unchanged, genuinely him. If him was even the right pronoun. But if anything was possible, surely faces, shapes, didn't matter. They were parlor tricks. He understood it then. The potential. The utter, unbelievable freedom to be whoever existed underneath his skin. Not just since the accident, but his whole life, he'd had no idea what truly lay beneath his own surface. He'd tamped it all down with a hunter's drive, a soldier's discipline, let it drown in bitterness and anger and resentment. But all that was gone. He was a new man, vulnerable and hopeful, and truly on the way to becoming himself. He reached out to take Kshar by the neck, felt little sparks travel between Kshar's skin and his fingers. He was dizzily alive, aware. A feeling like being in love. Strike like.
You're the better man, Kshar.
Better than me. That he'd ever say that to a murdering, thought-sucking morph was a miracle, but he really got it now. Kshar laughed into their kiss.
I have more practice.
Written by Alexander Voinov. Narrated by Gomez Pugh. Copyright 2012, first edition, by Alexander Voinov. Production copyright 2015, by Alexander Voinov.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this.